Comic Timing
is a proud member
of the Comics Podcast
Network, bitch.
This is Batman.
And this is the Joker.
Hey, what are you doing here?
I wanted to do the opening.
What are you talking about?
You've been on this show enough. Share the spotlight. I'm in the movie, too.
You're a freak.
I'm a freak. What about you? You dress up as a bat. But you know what? I like you. You complete me.
Anyway, this is episode 68.
Why so serious? You need to lighten up a little bit. How about a nice little fire? Ow! All right, I'll let them do their little show about our little show. But stay out of it, Batman.
Fair enough, but I'm still doing an opener.
All right, I'll let you get to it.
This is Batman. It's been a while since I've been on Comic Timing, but I've been preparing for the release of The Dark Knight. Swear to me, you'll see it more than twice. This is Comic Timing, episode 68, the Batman movie retrospective and Dark Knight review.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ethan Levenstein, and welcome to episode 68 of Comic Timing. Well, we do have an episode in the can, but that is going to be episode 69 now. It's the half-hour wasted crossover. You'll wait one more week for that, because I want to get this baby out nice and early. We have ourselves the Batman retrospective, but unlike Raging Bullets, this will not be a 72-hour podcast. I promise you that. We are joined, as always, by the co-host, not co-host, co-host, who hopefully is wearing very tight shoes tonight. It's Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
My socks are off. Should I put my shoes on?
Man, come on, man. That's going to keep you up. If we learned anything over the past couple of episodes, is that there needs to be at least something like maybe put like a nose clip like on your arm or something like that to keep you from falling asleep or something. Just
nose clip.
Yeah, just get something going, man. Get one of those breathe right strips in your nose so you're nice and relaxed and not too
with
relaxed.
Your luck, it'd make you fall asleep faster.
Oh. Have him tug on the nipple ring.
Don't tug on the nipple ring.
Mr. Nipple Ring himself is Chris.
I can just cinch my chain from my two nipple rings to my Prince Albert.
And now that we've disturbed everybody on the call, not that Raph Suhu's intro didn't before, but we're still getting the Raph. It's Chris Chavez, Equinox on the forums, back for the first time in a couple of episodes. So I guess you're making yourself more usual this time, Chris, huh?
Well, I'm taking medication, so I'm staying more regular. You know what the doctor says.
What is it, Metamucil or like Centrum?
Fiber, you got to get that roughage in the diet. You know, I figure if I eat at least a good comic every once in a while, I should get some good fiber content from that.
Ah, then you must not be reading DC.
And podcast number two on the call are the Geeks Unite guys. We got Raph Suhu. His parents are dead.
My dad kissed a girl. He liked it.
Assuming so, because you are a boy, aren't you? Or are you really a woman in a young boy's body?
The guy making gay jokes is Juan de Jesus Guadalupe Francisco Quadruple Bada Bada Hada the Third.
Do you want me to say it? I could just say it.
Oh, go ahead, say it.
Juan Alberto de Jesus Delgado Rodriguez Ortiz Iman the Third.
Damn, skip it. What's going on, Juan?
And if you still have an erection after 4 hours with Viagra, you could try flicking your nutsack. See if it goes down.
Oh, bringing it to the table right off the bat, Juan, huh?
You know what? That's not a pouch.
Oh, that's not a pocket.
It's not a bucket.
It's a hot pocket.
Are we already in the balls in a sling territory?
My parents have my balls in a sling.
French fries, mashed potatoes.
All right.
No,
if you have an erection
for more than 4.5 hours, just turn off your penile implant.
Let me introduce Leroy, or this episode's never going to get started. All right. For the love of God, we've got on the call also for the first time since episode 50 for his little hello. He's on a full episode of Comic Timing this time. Leroy, Comic Dube Ziggo. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up?
That's it?
Can I have my own title?
Intern Ziggo.
Intern.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. Intern Ziggo, Juan needs some coffee.
I don't take coffee for the fifth time. We'll do it live. That thing doesn't work.
No, speak English?
Speak English, my ass. I saw you talking to
the hot dog. Mr. Batman, no here.
No? Lemon pledge?
Yeah, well, apparently Bruce Wayne could hire a bunch of Mexicans to do his lawn.
We need more lemon pledge?
Right. Watch you have sex? You take my grandmother to work?
You like my mama? She a virgin.
I got no legs. I got
all right,
no legs.
And so, let's get ready to the episode.
Yes. And this episode of Comic Timing is proudly sponsored by Heroes Corner. Guess who's back? Back again. Heroes Corner's back. Tell a friend. Yeah, I'm in a really silly mood right now because I just woke up a little while ago. But anyway, we've got the brand new August specials from Heroes Corner to tell you about. And this month, it is Double Down or Trade Wars, depending on whatever you want to call it. They are giving you 50% off the second trade that you buy. Now, for example, if you pre-order two newly released trades, they'll mark down the second trade that you buy 50% off retail. Basically, buy one at regular price, and you'll get the second one for half price off. So if you buy Civil War, you buy Green Lantern Secret Origins, they'll give you Green Lantern 50% off. So that's a saving of over $20, and it's pretty damn sweet. You can save even more if you use their summer special. This is the last month you can use the summer special, so I would get on that now if you can. And the summer special all summer long has been, if you buy two trade paperbacks of the same character, and then you buy the single issue of that character, you get the single issue for free. Say, for example, you take advantage of their deal here, and you get yourself two Batman books and the latest Batman single. You're going to get that second Batman book for 50% off, and you're going to get yourself a free Batman title in the works. So that is a nice combination, if I do say so myself. So that is the August special for Heroes Corner. Double down on the trade wars. Plus, to give you an example of some of the other deals this month, they've marked Final Crisis Submit number 1 down to $1. So the regular price is $3.99. Now it's only $1, 75% off this month, which is pretty damn sweet. If you're a fan of HeroClix, the Arkham Asylum Booster Pack is only $7.79, 35% off on Heroes Corner. You've got Fables on sale as well for $1.50. Green Lantern Corps on sale for $1.50. Whole bunch of great deals this month over at Heroes Corner, so make sure you take advantage of that. And the Comic Timing Picks of the Month, we're making it a little easier for you here, so as opposed to having to put in the notes section Comic Timing Special Discount, things are just going to be discounted extra. This month, we've got two books for 40% off, one book for 75% off. Next month, things are going to be a little bit more streamlined, as I had a talk with Bob, and we decided that things are just easier this way. So we've got Captain Britain and MI-13 number 6, a brand new story arc for Captain Britain and MI-13. It's 40% off, regular price of $2.99. It's only $1.79 on Heroes Corner. Supergirl number 34, Jamal Igel's art debut on Supergirl, will also be $1.79, 40% off. And the independent title this month will be Hellboy in the Chapel of Moloch, 75% off. Retail, $2.99. The Heroes Corner price is 75 cents. And this is the return of Mike Mignola to Hellboy, the first Hellboy title he's written in a long time, and he's drawing it as well. That's pretty damn sweet. Writing and drawing, Mike Mignola, 75% off, 75 cents at Heroes Corner. And this month's first-time shopper discount code is CTROCKS. That's CTROCKS. CTROCKS is your discount code for the month. If you've never used Heroes Corner before and you want an extra discount, 5% off your first order with Heroes Corner if you use the code CTROCKS. So, whole bunch of great stuff happening at Heroes Corner this month, and I thank you tons to Heroes Corner for the sponsorship. Best damn customer service around, HeroesCorner.com. So, we're obviously all nice and punchy today. All right. This is the, as I previously stated, the Bratman movie retrospective, so let me read the nice story here. Yeah, no, Ratman, or Catman, or Satman, or Datman, Batman. Ooh, and we'll get to Batman well, because he makes an appearance in Dark Knight, but holy caffeine, Batman movie have made, wait, what the hell am I saying? Batman movies have had quite the storied history since the first one graced our presence back in the 60s. Yep, the Batman TV pilot counts. Anywho, what is your favorite Batman movie? How does the first set of Batman movies stack up when compared to the current lot? Did enough time pass between the 89 Batman and now to do the Joker again?
How does Two-Face from Batman Forever compare to Two-Face from The Dark Knight? Which actor portrayed Batman the best? How about Bruce Wayne? Favorite love interest? Favorite Alfred? And for the heck of it, do you consider animated movies like Batman Gotham Knight to be movies or animated features? Plus, give us your thoughts on Batman Gotham Knight as well, as we'll be going the most in-depth on that and The Dark Knight. His parents are dead. So,
could I get the blue book, because that's too many essay questions for one book?
That's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, seriously.
That's fine. You can only write in number 2 pencil though.
Fuck, man! This Mexican guy sold me his number 3 pencil. Intern, intern here now.
Yeah. Has anybody what? Ever used a pencil other than a number 2 pencil?
Yes. To draw.
Yeah.
To do like architect planning and shit.
I used to be a graphic design major at City Tech, so I had like a number 4 and 5 pencil.
How different are they? Because I've never used any others.
They're lighter, actually. They're just really, really, really light. That's about it. Right. Yeah.
Batman uses always a number 2 pencil.
And he also uses Old Spice to get that lovely musk going when he faces bad guys.
Because that is how a hero has to be.
All right!
No. No. Yeah, no.
I sound like I'm mentally retarded?
We'll get to that. We'll get to
Don't
that.
Don't let from CGS. Jamie D's overalls are white. My balls are too heavy for the suit. I can't turn my penis.
All right. Let's get going on this retrospective before my brain explodes, all right? We'll start things off nice and simple first. What's your favorite Batman movie and why? We'll start things off with Mr. Chavez.
Oh, my favorite Batman movie is probably, even as hard as Dark Knight rocked the box office so far, it's going to be Batman Begins. I thought it was a great way to restart/kickstart the franchise. I thought it was a lot more faithful to Batman comics in general that I've read both as a kid as well as on through even when the Burton movies came out as well. It just an overall well-balanced movie that gave me all the superhero goodness that I wanted.
Excellent. Sounds like good reasons to me. I mean, so in general, I mean, do you think that Bale played a better Batman in that one than he did in Dark Knight? Or
oh, hell yes. Bale is the Batman. He totally blew everybody out of the water. George Clooney should just stay with his little man love ocean.
Caesar haircut.
Yeah. And Bale is the shiznit as far as Batman is concerned. If anybody else played him at this point, I probably would be sorely disappointed. I don't know who could do it any better.
Well, he might be a bit too much Batman if you ask his mother and sister.
Yeah, but you know what I heard? And I probably would have to have some of the English listeners clarify this, but I had heard that he's kind of estranged from his mom. I guess mom and dad got a divorce when he was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Christian decided to live with daddy, and mommy never really forgave him for it. So, and apparently, if all of this took place in England, apparently verbal abuse can be considered assault under English law.
Well, Chris, so. I'm not in England, so your mother wears combat boots.
And thank God.
The English are sissies.
I'm moving to England.
I trust in my Christian. He's all good. Keep him in the role.
I'm a Jew, so I can't really trust in Christian.
Oh, whoa. Religious joke there, but I'm bummed.
Ho ho. It's Cassina. Favorite Batman movie and why?
Dark Knight. Is there even a question?
Well, come on, man. Spill the beans a little bit. Give us your skinny.
Because it rocked the his house.
For shizzle.
For shizzle my nizzle. Because it has the best damn magic trick I've ever seen on film.
Oh, yes.
You want to see this pencil disappear.
And it has the hottest looking nurse I've ever seen on film, too.
Oh, my God.
Great legs, doesn't she?
And the best bedside banter I've ever seen on film.
Oh, my God.
Don't be hitting my call.
Hi.
Oh, no. Nice.
There's no I.
I don't want things. to be a little different between us.
Just a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do if I got one.
You know, this entire episode is just going to degenerate into Joker quotes. I can see it happening.
Well,
he had so many good lines. Come on.
I know.
I love that. I want to kill you. You completely
me. Yeah.
I don't know what to do with myself.
So the first time I'm seeing it, I've only seen it once, but I turn the rap. He's sitting right next to me, and I go, broke bat Batman.
Maybe we could share a cell together.
So what's your sign? I'm an Aquarius.
You want to play Mahjong, Batman?
You throw up in your mouth a little bit there, Chris?
Yes.
I told you not to eat the burritos. Those Mexicans, no shifty.
So, Juan, now that you made the Mexican joke right off the bat, Batman favorite movie, why?
Batman favorite movie, to be honest, it's a tie between Mask of the Phantasm and Batman Begins.
You bastard.
No. Let me say what.
Pick my answer.
Okay. It's a Batman show. Guess what?
You know my favorite Batman movie is the one with Batman in it. Good night.
Adam West. Adam West.
And they say you couldn't plant sausage seeds.
All right, explain yourself, Juan.
Well, I consider Batman Begins Dark Knight part of a greater story that Nolan is going to eventually finish off. So I think that's really just one movie in the new mythos that Nolan has created. But if you go back and you just take the Joker encounters into effect, Batman Mask of the Phantasm had one of the greatest Joker encounters towards the end of the movie. So I have to put that on par with Ledger's Joker-Batman fight towards the end of this movie as well.
And plus, I mean, they managed to introduce a villain that, well, if memory serves me right, that was a villain that was just made for that movie, correct?
No. Phantasm was actually a member of the Teen Titans.
Oh.
Yeah, but they just changed what the character meant.
Okay. Gotcha. So. Gotcha. All right. So they made it from a hero to a villain.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, anti-hero in the end.
Yeah.
Did they make him like that villain that they had in Batman Year 2? Was like that...
The Reaper? The Reaper was Joe Chill.
Don't fear the Reaper.
No. Joe Chill worked with Batman to get the Reaper.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. But in the end, I don't think that counts anymore in Year 2, does it?
They've changed continuity so many times, but I don't know if the Phantasm was like a Reaper character or not.
No, he was actually a member of the West Coast Teen Titans, the ones that Beast Boy was running before the current incarnation.
Teen Titans West.
Yes. Actually, I think he died. I think Trigon like put the smackdown on that bitch.
Yeah, but you know what? So many Teen Titans have died over the years, I didn't even notice.
Titans are dead.
Duella Dent? Wow, important death.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, let's not even get started on that, boys, or else that's an entirely separate episode. let's roll down the Leroy. I know that you have Juan's answer, but maybe you have a different answer for it.
Yeah, same here with me. It's a tie between Batman Begins and Mask of the Phantasm, but for two separate reasons. To me, Batman Begins was more of a Bruce Wayne story as opposed to Dark Knight that was still a Batman story. Which, don't get me wrong, Dark Knight was great, but I prefer Begins. The way they did that origin story, they just pulled it off really great for me. And then my reason also for Batman Mask of the Phantasm is because it was just... It was kind of like Batman Begins in the sense that it was the same way with flashback origin stories as to how he became Batman and stuff. And it took place between season, I think, 3 and 4. Yeah, it took place between season 3 and 4. And yeah.
Now we get to Raph's answer.
All right, so my answer would be that my brain is broken.
What the hell?
Anyway, seriously, I want to consider my favorite movie I want to say Dark Knight, but you can't mention Dark Knight without Batman Begins, so they're tied for my top slot. As much as I love Mask of Phantasm, and as much as I love the Adam West 1960s movie, Batman is like Star Wars, and Dark Knight is definitely Empire. I mean, you can't just watch Dark Knight without having seen Batman Begins, because you'll be like, what happened to the mobsters? What are they talking about? when did Dent come in? You know, what happened before Dent? You need, they fit so perfectly. And Begins is very much more like the comic books. But what Nolan did with Dark Knight was he created a totally different Batman universe. And it's so awesome.
Like, thank God you didn't say Superman, because I was about to slap.
Reach on, brother.
No, I mean, like,
you kind of scared me there.
Doesn't he scare everybody whenever he speaks?
No. Lord of me!
They don't make soap boxes anymore, Raph. You
here's
need
the
to
thing.
Step down.
Now I'm expecting Ewoks for the third Batman movie. Thanks, Raph.
Oh, shit.
Ewoks.
Ewoks in little green shorts.
All five Robins will fight all the bad guys. Well,
just as long as there's never any Jar Jar Binks in a Batman movie.
Misa don't know, Master Wayne.
Misa outfit. Misa don't know. Misa, can you tea?
Misa just make the battle ranks in the back of cave, Underground Railroad history.
Swear to Misa.
This is the new Tumblr, Mr. Wayne, and apparently you went right over Jar Jar.
Don't worry. He was full of shit anyway.
I like Chris's there. Yeah, swear to Misa.
Batman Begins and Dark Knight are definitely at the top of my Batman list.
You said that already.
Yeah.
What about your comic book movie list?
Dark Knight is like number two or number one, depending
on... Superman Returns, because I love Superman Returns so much. I saw it 10 times. It was awesome.
And I saw the guys raining bullets, and then I went ahead and I saw it with Chelsea Handler.
I'm gonna see Dark Knight 9 times.
Dude, what the fuck? How much money are you spending on this movie?
Dude, that's why you don't like...
$158 million came from Raph.
No, we're already at $205 million.
Raph, how many more tickets did you buy?
No, I got a few free tickets from my movie watcher card. They just like
all
came
right,
out.
Raph, okay. just admit, Dark Knight was better than any of your shitty little Superman movies.
Oh,
including Superman 4, Quest for Peace.
Oh, Superman 4.
Okay. First off, I think. Well, anyway, explain your Superman Batman thing, considering we were cutting you off.
Well, I mean, I've talked about how big a Superman fan I am, but Batman, the Michael Keaton Batman, was the first movie I ever saw in the movie theater. So I was a huge Batman fan when I was a kid. It's just because people liked Batman way more than Superman that I turned to a Superman fan. I mean, like a major more like Superman. Like I became more of a Superman fan, but I'm still a huge Batman fan. It's not like I don't like Batman. I absolutely love Batman. So
that's a good reason to become a Superman fan. I feel bad for the character. No one likes his shitty movies.
No, it wasn't even that. It was the cartoon series. Everyone said Batman was better than Superman. I got tired of listening to that.
But it's true.
No, the Superman cartoon series was great.
The Batman cartoon series was spectacular.
Yeah,
the Batman series worked better than Superman, yeah.
Raph, do you also like stop watching really good TV shows and like start watching the crappy ones?
No, I don't. It's just that if I was watching Heroes and you were watching Lost and you kept bashing Heroes and saying Heroes suck compared to Lost, I would support Heroes more than I would Lost.
All right, I got.
You're that guy that wrote in all the Spider-Girl letters.
Yes! Thank you! I get my credit!
This is... No one listen to Raph. He bought Superman 64.
No, I didn't, actually.
Ooh, wait, I didn't.
Yeah, my first thinking was the Apocalypse one for PS2.
No, he didn't buy Superman 64. However, he walked into the bathroom one day, and it was actually sitting in the toilet, so he decided to take it.
Let's not say Superman 64 consecutively, because that'll force a copy of it to come into existence.
There was a Superman game for PS2?
No, don't worry about it. It was a horrible game.
Yeah, it was.
All right.
Like the Superman's Return game was just as bad as the movie.
All right. But yet again,
the Batman Begins game was good.
Yeah, the Batman Begins game was good. In fact, actually, you know, that takes me to what my favorite Batman movie is. Yeah, let's steer away from the Superman, or else we'll start talking about that all damn episode.
We're bashing Superman. We're not talking about him.
Oh, right, sure. All right, I'm actually going to go with the combination of Gotham Knight and Dark Knight are now my favorite Batman movies. Because
Gotham Knight, really?
Yeah, seriously. Batman Gotham Knight got me hyped for Dark Knight so much that I sat on down there. I knew what characters I was going to get. I knew some more backstory on characters I didn't know before. I sat down there. I knew who some of the characters were ahead of time because of Gotham Knight. And then I sat down at Dark Knight, and some of my friends said that Dark Knight was too long. I didn't even notice. I was that, like...
I agree.
I was just that hyped with the movie.
Dark Knight is one of the first movies I noticed that nobody in the entire theater got up at any point in time during the movie.
Right.
Normally you see like somebody has to run off and, you know, take a leak or what have you. Nobody moved.
Well, did anyone see a midnight showing?
I didn't.
No.
I saw a midnight showing and we had to wait because apparently the distributor got there late.
Ooh. Right?
So we had to wait 45 minutes. So this midnight showing, right, turned into like almost half the night. I went from the movie theater to work. No one said shit.
Good.
Everyone sat there and waited for the movie to come in. No one complained. No one asked for free tickets. People went and bought more popcorn and came back. And when the movie started, nobody left.
Well, see, the only reason people left ours is because ours was like in like a 300-seater. So there were so many seats that there were bound to be like one or two people that got up and, you know, left. Plus, there were these really annoying bastards sitting in front of us that kept on like getting up at annoying parts and just like waving their hands in front of their friends to be like, hey, look at me. I'm a jokester. When in reality, they were just being dumbasses.
Show them the pencil trick.
Yeah.
Dude, if I ever
and
see
this
people,
time, not through the eye socket.
If I ever see these guys again, not only am I doing the pencil trick, I'm doing a pen trick, too.
See, that's why I never go to midnight showings or first days anymore, because it's just a pain in the ass with all these annoying people.
Ooh.
You know?
and you know what?
What I'm saying, the midnight showing, no one said anything. Everyone sat down and was very cordial, and they enjoyed the movie. And when we got out at 3:30 in the morning, you know what I mean? Everyone was really happy, and the movie performed to expectations, if not more.
I need to go on a quick rant here, a little sidetrack here, but since we've been doing nothing but sidetracking, when we went to see the movie, we went to the AMC 25, The Empire, which is supposed to be AMC's like flagship theater. And first off, they obviously don't know how to do pre-orders, and I never really noticed this before, because obviously this was the most pre-sale movie in the history of pre-sales, basically. It beat Spider-Man 3. So they have people lined up outside in 90-degree heat. The 9:30, 10 o'clock, and 10:30 shows all wind up in the same line to get into the theater. Oh, you better believe it. So their explanation, I mean, I asked them going up there, I'm like, are you serious? They got everybody lined up. He said, oh, well, you know, when it's your turn to go, we're going to go along the line and say 9:30 can go forward. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That destroys the purpose of the line.
This is going to be fucking terrible. And it was fucking terrible because, first off, things went orderly until one theater guy said go through one door while the other guy was saying go through the other door. So then there was a mad bum rush and I had to get out of the line. I mean, I as I'm saying so, I'm like, yeah, good job with the line management. Of course, they're like laughing at me, but you know, what the fuck are they going to do? But anyway, we get in there and as we're getting into the theater, there's so many people crammed in for the one escalator going up that they have to check tickets a second time to make sure none of the 10:30 people are trying to get in. This is the complete opposite of the Iron Man one, where they had people lined up on the inside like smart people. So I don't know what the hell the problem was this time, but they sure as hell ain't doing the system again because they failed miserably. I mean, we still got good seats, but that's not the point. People could have gotten killed with the trampling that was going on.
Did anyone see it in IMAX?
Brad did.
I saw it in IMAX at New Rock City, where people were supposed to be civilized. Fucking fist fight. Fist fight.
Whoa.
In New Rock, wow.
In New Rock, in the IMAX. So you know how hard it is to get security up there? If not, you could throw somebody off the balcony and they'll fall like 40 feet. Right? So the guy goes, hey, douchebag, get that seat in. There's no more space. There's only one seat. Whether he moves over or not, they're going to be separated. They're not going to be any closer, right?
Yeah.
So this guy gets up, and then the movie's not even close to starting. It's like 20 minutes early, right? People can still move around and shit happens, right? He comes in and they start fist fighting for a movie. I mean, I was amped for Dark Knight. But there's like a certain level that people cannot cross. And people are crossing.
Yeah.
Did people give it a soundtrack at least?
I bought it.
I have it, yeah.
Okay. I downloaded it.
I got both.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Brett and Juan, for IMAX, is it general admission for the IMAX seats, or is it assigned seating?
No, it's general.
It's general.
Yeah. Okay.
It costs a little bit more than for IMAX.
Yeah, here's my rant for my local IMAX here in Sacramento. We have one IMAX theater, and it's a separate IMAX theater. It shows nothing but IMAX movies.
Yeah.
The fucking theater is not getting the movie. Okay, they do assigned seating. So if you buy a seat in the theater, guaranteed a specific seat in the place. But they're not getting the fucking movie until August 29th.
What?
I want to see it. Yeah, if I want to see it in IMAX, I have to drive 2 hours to go see it at a theater that's in the East Bay area. Right. I mean, I want to see it in IMAX, but I'm not going to spend, you know, the extra, what, $30 or what have you round trip just to go see the movie. But it to me, it's a fucking waste that right now they've got goddamn Speed Racer and Kung Fu Panda. The shit. Move the shit out. And bring this stuff in.
Don't let Dr. Gregsky on the forum hear you say that.
Congratulations, Chris. You found the one theater in America that's still showing Speed Racer.
Yeah.
Oh.
I tried to see Speed Racer.
They're still showing Dinosaurs 3D, by the way.
Dude, I seriously tried to see Speed Racer 3 weeks after it came out, and the only theater that was playing it was one random theater in Queens. That's it.
Shit.
Yeah.
I that's shameful.
Yeah.
You should just be like, you should walk over to the theater manager.
And that's why you should move to New York.
Yeah. Or
to see Dark Knight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, move to New York to see Dark Knight. I'm sure that when you tell your guy that you're moving into your new apartment, he's like, "So why you moved to New York? I want to see Dark Knight." You're not getting this apartment. Yeah. Get the fuck out.
What do you mean?
Chris, I told you should have saw it while you were in Florida.
I know. I didn't.
I was talking to him a couple days before. I was like, he's like, hey, I'm in Florida. I was like, hey, I'm going to see Dark Knight 7 o'clock Saturday. There's still tickets.
There were still tickets? You know that IMAX for 66 and Broadway was sold out?
For the rest of the week.
4 weeks in advance.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Orlando, so it's not as densely populated as... New York.
You know what's interesting is that I haven't seen it yet. I avoid the weekend rush just to avoid people in general. And the interesting
haven't
was
seen the
that,
movie yet? Get the fuck off this call.
I saw it yesterday. Yeah. Here's what happened. I went to go visit some friends in Delaware. I didn't want to be rude. I was hanging out with them, and then when I came back, I went to go see it as soon as I got back to the city. But the interesting was it was yesterday, Tuesday, they were still sold out in Union Square. Mm-hmm. So I had to trottle down to Times Square and, you know, get my ticket.
Oh, and Ziggo, that's not an excuse. Nobody lives in Delaware.
Yeah. How many times has everybody seen it so far?
In fact, they don't even have the movie.
I saw it twice.
Seen it twice?
Twice. I saw it again last night.
I've seen it three times.
Where in Delaware, out of curiosity? Because I know that nobody lives in Wilmington, Delaware, at least.
No, actually, that's where my bus stop is, but my friend's from Dover. You remember Kyle that came with me to the Comic-Con, the dude with the Superboy shirt? Him, my boy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah.
I caught the bat flu today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All that jumping off of skyscrapers in Hong Kong.
I didn't feel well, so I ended up making it to a 1 o'clock show this afternoon.
Oh darn.
I'm so sorry.
Well,
hope you feel better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Actually, no.
Just serious, Chris.
Tomorrow he's catching the wanted flu.
But you know what? What surprised me is at a 1 o'clock in the afternoon show on a Wednesday, the theater was still half full.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, my showing last night was mostly full.
This movie is ridiculous. It's prolific.
Usually, you know, when movies come out like Sex and the City, that's when boyfriends take their girlfriends, quote unquote, to the movie so they can shut up. This is a movie where a girl has to take their guy so we can just calm down.
I don't know about you, but I did not take my girlfriend to see Sex and the City. I said, "You go with the girls." I said, "Get the fuck out of my face."
I'm sure you would exactly like that.
By the way, Raph, Andy says hi.
Okay.
This is the kind of movie that if you go to the theater and they're sold out, they say, we have tickets to Mamma Mia. I said, fuck no.
Come on. Mamma Mia is awesome.
Gay people sing, and I'll go to Christopher Street. I paid $8 to go to the theater.
Hey, Mamma Mia made a cold $9
million. Yeah, it costs $200 million to make.
I know. All right. Before we start talking more about Dark Knight, this is awesome and all that. But let's go movie by movie before we roll our way up to the new ones. All right. Started off with Batman. First off, the original 1989 Batman, obviously, does it hold up today? And was it the right Batman for its time? That is, was it the movie that we should have gotten in 1989, or were you expecting something different? And we're going to go with Brent first.
Seeing as I was 3 and only saw it for the first time maybe 5 years ago, mm-hmm. it's okay. It still holds up. I do have more of an affinity for it now after rewatching Batman Returns, which used to be my favorite when I was an itty-bitty little kid, mm-hmm. Because that movie is – the original is better than Batman Returns, is for damn sure, in my opinion. But I think it still holds up. There's still a little some corny moments. I think Jack Nicholson is still fun to watch, you know. So I'll have to say, yeah, it holds up. Just because Jack Nicholson. And the original, like, vision of the movie is kind of weird and quirky, but it's not too out there, unlike the second one.
Okay. And Jokers, for the comparison of Jokers, I mean, was that the Joker that you wanted to see in the movie, Jack Nicholson?
Well, it's fucking Jack Nicholson.
Well,
it's cool.
I get that much, but I mean, was his performance the Joker to you, or was it Jack Nicholson?
I don't think you heard what he said. He said, is Jack Nicholson playing Jack Nicholson?
Right.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that. I said Jack Nicholson is fun to watch no matter what he's doing. Well, Jack Nicholson is Jack Nicholson in any movie, pretty much, to me. The Bucket List, Anger Management.
The Bucket List.
Recently.
He should have played the Joker in The Bucket List. That would have been fun.
About Schmidt, you know, is the same, as good as it gets.
A Batman from a what a hump hump country.
The Joker in The Batman from 1989 was basically, here's Johnny. I mean, that was the Jack Nicholson that I was expecting, and he brought that craziness to the character for the Joker.
It made the Joker memorable. So, yeah, I think it was what you're expecting, especially if you're expecting Jack Nicholson to be the Joker.
Right. Okay.
Rub hands rhubarb.
Uh-huh. Right. And really, to be quite honest, I've never really read a Joker story that he was all that disgusting and fucked up as he's supposed to be is, mm-hmm. like it was in The Dark Knight. Like, any Joker story I've ever read... It's kind of just like he's silly. Kind of a goofy motherfucker and silly, yeah.
Yeah,
he was dumbed down. Yeah.
Have you checked out Arkham Asylum?
No, I have not.
Okay, you got to check that out.
Yeah.
Even I reread The Killing Joke the other day, and he was still kind of goofy and kind of Jack Nicholson-y.
You got to do Arkham Asylum if you want to see Heath Ledger.
Does anyone remember the showcase stuff that DC used to put out like in 93, 94?
I remember. Yeah.
Uh-huh. There was a great Joker story there. That was really, really dark and gritty, and he had a wife and everything, and he put on the makeup, and it was almost like an Elseworlds take on it, but this is that's the Joker I saw in Dark Knight.
Well, I guarantee you that when Brian Azzarello's Joker hardcover comes out in 2 months, you're going to see the Joker that you saw in Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Because that looks like it's going to be really freaking creepy, but let's go on to Wrath for the Batman question. Batman 89, your thoughts?
Well, like I said, it was the first movie I ever saw in the movie theaters. I was, like, what, 4 or 5?
We were 5 at the time, yes.
Yeah, 5. So it completely blew me away. Looking back at it, does it hold up pretty much? I mean, some of it's a little silly, some of it's a bit campy, but I enjoyed it definitely for what it was. And, like Brent, Returns used to be my favorite, but I think Returns is more of a spectacle, and this one's more of a solid movie. I really... enjoy Jack Nicholson as a Joker, and he is Jack Nicholson, but Jack Nicholson plays psychopaths so well. And what's Joker?
Because Jack Nicholson is a psychopath.
Exactly. He's not stretching reality there, you know? I mean, Heath Ledger did, but Jack Nicholson is just being himself, and being himself is great for the Joker. Your thoughts, Juan?
How much do you weigh? That quote basically sums up that movie. It was good for its time, but I still can't get over the Prince soundtrack. You know,
Back in White, Fred and Queen.
See,
I have something to say about that.
Yeah, what's up?
No, I'll wait till it's my turn.
No, but look at it. The Batmobile was the best part of that movie. That, you know, it's just Michael Keaton is really hard for me to see as Bruce Wayne, even in that time. And then his inability to move his neck from side to side, and he has those awkward movements. It made it kind of difficult to stem it in reality, but you had to... That and Lando Calrissian playing Harvey Dent, you know, that's never a good thing. But I don't think it holds up to what we've come to know as the Batman mythos since Bruce Timm introduced Batman the Animated Series, and Batman has grown into more the mainstream. So...
So you didn't like the Prince stuff. Did you like the Danny Elfman stuff?
It was good, especially the last scene with the bells and everything playing.
Yeah.
That's how you finish a Batman movie. I think, frankly, that's one of the best parts of that movie. But if you that last sequence in the bell towers, it's very dark. You can hardly see anything. And the cuts are quick. People complain about Nolan's cuts, but whoever directed the Batman movie did the same thing.
Tim Burton,
you see, it's just, does it hold up to today's standards? Filmmaking, yes. Maybe quality. I'm going to take a very unpopular view and say no.
I could see that. Yeah.
But do you guys see why I don't like it? It's just...
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
It's an animal that you don't come to expect from a Batman movie. But when I was 5, 6, 7, it was good enough for me to go and get excited about. And Jack Nicholson was hilarious. But he was really buffoonish in this movie.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that, Chris?
Okay. When I saw the movie, I was about 21, 22. So I'm one of the ones that I don't know. I wasn't just coming off of potty training or what have you.
I was potty trained for 45.
But you know what? From what I remember when seeing the movie, I enjoyed it for what it was, because all the TV or the movie appearances of Batman prior to that was the campy, yeah, Batman. And I thought it was a step in the right direction as far as he wasn't like a grim and gritty superhero, but it brought the level of darkness to the character up higher. It set kind of the believability of the character up a little bit more. It still had all the campy stuff, you know, with Jack Nicholson as far as the character, and Kim Basinger, she was just annoying as all fucking get out. And so was the Prince soundtrack. But I mean, stuff like the Batmobile, and like you're saying, the last fight sequence in it was, I thought, was fantastic. Danny Elfman, even though I know he had done other soundtracks prior to that, I think didn't he do like Edward Scissorhands or something like that?
He did pretty much all of Tim Burton's.
Him and Tim Burton are like a left and right hand.
Yeah.
Like two testicles in a ball sack.
But
and Johnny Depp is the ball sack.
Why is everything got to go back to balls with you, Juan?
You want to know why? That's the source of life.
but it was the first time that I had, you know, heard music from Danny Elfman like that. So overall, as far as the complete package, I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was a step in the right direction. Now, as far as did I think it did enough with the character, I think they could have done more. It's not the same kind of movie as like a Wizard of Oz, but it had kind of a feel like that, like he was trying to take this big, grandiose world and create it inside kind of like a closed set,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to even what Burton did with Sleepy Hollow, where Sleepy Hollow seemed like he was creating a grandiose world, but he did it using like a much larger canvas or much larger area. He was, you know, using outdoor scenes and what have you.
You could say Scissorhands are the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Same type of thing.
Also, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's his style, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he did it. To me, he did an excellent job. I mean, because DC was kind of taking a chance on him at the time, because, you know, he had only been known for doing kind of the quirky stuff. But then again, it's kind of you get like a mirror effect. Burton was known more for doing kind of not really independent, but kind of smaller non-blockbuster films. Same type of thing with Nolan when they brought him in to do Batman Begins.
Mm-hmm. And plus, I mean, with Batman, I mean, you get the most iconic, you know, Batman score that was then used over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I mean, you know, that is Batman.
Yep.
And not anymore.
Well,
now you hear those drums, and you know Batman's coming to kick your ass. Admit it. As soon as you saw the blue flames and the Batman logo in Dark Knight, all you heard was like... You heard the score that Hans Zimmer made for the first one.
Mm-hmm. But they also did that horn section. Which to me almost sounds like a trumpet for somebody... calling charge or what have you, know, Batman charging at the villains. I don't know.
Right.
There is part of one of the tracks on the soundtrack that does have a similar sort of Batman thing in it. I'm trying. It was like da na na na.
And if anyone's skipping ahead of the program, we haven't gone crazy. We're just talking about the music in Batman.
I wouldn't quite say we haven't gone crazy. Because if they've been listening to at least 5% of the episode, they might think differently already.
You want to get
nuts? My second drink. I only am on my second.
I haven't even drank alcohol yet. I'm waiting for alcohol until Dark Knight. But all right. Anyway, plus, I think one of the differences between Batman 89 and Batman Begins, and it's funny because now in Dark Knight, I sort of feel this as well a little bit. But I think Batman 89 was more a Joker story than a Batman story. And Batman.
But hell, Nicholson got top billing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And it was a Batman movie. It was supposed to be a Batman movie, but they might as well just call it the Joker. You know, while with this one here, with Batman Begins, you had Batman in the forefront, and it was his origin story as opposed to the Joker's origin story. And I think that helped the movie significantly.
Yeah.
Who hasn't gotten it, by the way? Just so I know.
Me.
Okay. Leroy.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And over to Leroy for Batman.
The intern.
Yeah, the intern. The thing about Batman, I'm just going to say this right now. I did not like this version's Gotham City. Mm-hmm. It's the one thing I can't wrap my head around it, because Gotham City is not a circus of people jumping around with silly music going on.
And nice leather bomber jackets with the Joker's face on the back.
Yeah, you know. But this movie, it came out when I was 3 years old. So at the time, it's like, all right, Batman, yeah, you know, cool. Who is this guy? No problem. You know, but what was the question again?
What?
what do you think about the Batman 89 movie?
Yes. Yes. And does it hold up over time?
We'll do it live.
I like how Leroy started answering and he was sounding like he was getting somewhere. And then all of a sudden, wait, what's the question again?
Sorry about that. I do that a lot.
It's all right, dude. It's all right. Come on. Go ahead. No, no. Go ahead.
But, no, in all seriousness.
I'm going to go grab a beer while you're talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. The cool thing about the movie is also, at the time, it's just, how can I explain it? I'm sleepy. I'm sorry. It's Batman, yeah. But actually, I wanted to answer
Can somebody get me the rest of the resumes from the interns?
Going to Juan's thing is that I actually kind of liked Prince music with this one, and I'm going to quote Phil from Comic Tuboso, is because Prince is a pimp, and so is Joker, and they're the only ones sporting purple jackets, and you can actually see Joker listening to Prince while doing his thing in the movie.
Because he's a crazy motherfucker.
Because he's a crazy motherfucker, right? He can pull it off. He can pull it off perfectly, so I totally saw that. But I never liked Batman. I never liked the first Batman movie, and to this day, I still don't.
Well,
that's it.
Plus, I think one of the problems was, and I mean, at the time it did work, when I saw the first Batman movie for the first time, I thought, holy crap, that's Batman. When I look back on it now, not even close, but that suit he's wearing, that all-black suit with the yellow emblem on it, I've never liked the yellow on the Batman suit. And I know that even more now, you know, reading current comics, and ever since they took that yellow away, he seems so much more menacing and so much more of a threat, because no one can see him coming. He doesn't have this yellow beacon shining on his chest like, hey, look at me, hit me right in my chest, please, hit me right in the yellow. You know,
and he has a bat unibeam in there.
Right.
A bat unibeam.
Yeah, it just never freaking worked. It's like you're not going to have the bat signal on your chest. And as I watch it now, that's what I see. You know, I see that freaking bat logo on the chest, and I just think this isn't Batman to me. And the suit is too bulky, and I think Michael Keaton doesn't really pull off Batman as well as he pulls off Bruce Wayne. I think he's one of the best Bruce Waynes we've had, but his Batman just doesn't work for me. And I think that was a problem with that entire series of movies, actually.
But the whole thing with the suit is Michael Keaton's not a bulky guy anyway, so they got to figure out a way to make him look menacing. So what they do, they added extra latex or what have you.
Yes.
The thing that bugs me about the first suit in that first Batman movie is the actual emblem is wrong. It's got that extra little two, like, bat wing things on the part in the middle that goes down below the head. Mm-hmm. And it looks kind of like a mouth. And it's different from the symbol that they put on the movie poster and what's in the comics for the yellow oval and anything else. It's like, how can you get that part wrong?
What are those other two things supposed to be? Are they teeth? Are they feet? What are they?
I think they're supposed to be like wings or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
going back, when they were interviewing Tim Burton, he did say, and I quote, "Do I look like I read comic books?" So there's your answer right there.
He does look like he reads comic books. Have you seen his hair?
He does look like it, but he, you know, pretty
looks
much
like a loser.
Yeah, he's a loser.
He reads comic books.
He's married to Helle Bardeen Carter, so I don't call him a loser.
It's two losers together.
Ooh. Ouch!
Oh, yeah, Helena Bonham Carter is not hot.
The Helena Bonham Carter looks like she's half related to Amy Winehouse, or is that
and the skeleton I found in the medical closet last week.
Yeah, try to make me go to rehab. I say no, no, no. You're in rehab now. Shut the fuck up, Amy Winehouse.
Thank you.
That song put her into rehab because if that song had a hit, she can't buy her blow.
It helped pay for it. The song helped pay for her.
Or blow.
Her
oh, God. Try to make me go to rehab. I say blow, blow, blow.
It's okay. Batman can have that yellow symbol on his chest because he'll just stick a serving tray underneath it and it'll stop a bullet.
But okay. But seriously, though, was Michael Keaton at least Bruce Wayne for you, if not Batman?
Bruce Wayne for me.
Yeah. He was Bruce Wayne.
I was five. He was Batman.
Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne with Val Kilmer's Batman, and it's okay.
It's second to Christian Bale's.
It's not even close.
It's a distant second.
No,
but
No. Kevin Conroy is second to Christian Bale.
No. Kevin Conroy is
Kevin Conroy is Batman. I love Kevin Conroy.
Thank you for clearing that up.
That's what he does.
Because he's Batman. Yes.
The Batman.
Yeah,
that deep bassy voice.
I know.
Hello, bitches. Have you seen my Russian interns today? You know what I mean? Come on. No.
What was that about interns?
You know what? You hear that? You hear this?
I was getting a soda.
Resumes. Okay. There are five guys who want your spot.
Word of the day is resume. Right.
So out of 10, let me get an out of 10 for Batman so we can move on to Batman Returns. Out of 10, what is it for you, Brent?
6.5.
6.5. Generous.
Bitch, you stole my score.
Like I said, it's a Batman show.
So Chris says 6.5. Over to Raph.
I would give it a 7.5 out of sentimentality.
All right, sentimentality is a word. Over to Juan.
5.
5. And Ziggo.
6.
I give it 6.6.
Wow.
I have to be the French judge always with the bad scoring? Come on.
I always the highest score. I have no taste.
Goddamn Jews always playing with the numbers. What the fuck?
I need to give it out. 6.5.
Well, you see, if you jury-rigged that a little bit over there, you're going to have to pay the government a little bit less.
Where's my bagel? I love Ian.
You got a little schmear?
I got my SPF anti-Jew formula ready.
Bend over, I got your schmear here. Bend over, I got the schmear here.
Yeah, where's Lando Calrissian? You know what? I'm dropping it to a 4 because fucking Lando Calrissian was Harvey Dent. You can't trust a black man who does that to Han Solo to be your district attorney.
Okay.
Get off! He was a pimp, Henry. He was a pimp, Dan.
All right. Well, wait a minute. Thank you for bringing that up, actually, because that'll lead to another point here. Number one, should they have stuck with Lando as Harvey Dent? As opposed to going to freaking Tommy Lee Jones?
I say yes.
He would. Definitely. He would have blocked the acid with a bottle of Colt 45.
And a six shooter, but yeah,
Lando would have cock blocked the Riddler at a half second if he was playing it in the movie,
and then he would have flown off in the Millennium Falcon.
With the Chinese alien.
I firmly believe Lando would have made a kick ass Two Face. I mean, sure, they would have had to change the makeup a little bit because it would have blended in his face. But, you know, I mean...
Oh, that's so racist. That is so backhanded racism.
I don't even mean it to be that way, but I'm absolutely serious that they would have had to change the look at least a little bit because it's a dark scarring in the first place. So they would have had to
make it would have to be a white scar.
See, if they put white makeup over Cesar Romero's makeup as a Joker, they could have worked with some Jerry Curl.
I guess so. And wow, that was even more racist than what I said. But... I think he definitely would have played a much better Two-Face than when we got out of freaking Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. But let's go to Batman Returns. the idea of having two villains in one movie was introduced in this. You had your Catwoman and you had your Penguin, and the Penguin played by the only guy who looks like a penguin without makeup, Danny DeVito. And
I won't say that to my boss because honestly, she looks kind of like a penguin.
Oh yeah,
she's short, dumpy, got that long nose, and then these small little shark teeth that just freak me the fuck out.
Hey, Danny DeVito, we found your love interest, but so yeah,
not Pearlman.
Stop quoting Twins, or I will punch you over the internet, Raf.
It's not a tumor.
You're gonna punt him. Be careful. He'll punch the tumor, you out of I'm the a baby.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Boys have penises and girls have vaginas.
Hellboy 2, man. Hellboy 2. We're sitting there watching Hellboy 2, and all of a sudden, Raph turns to me and goes, "I'm a tumor."
I went, "He's a tumor."
Can I say something about that? I am disappointed that Hellboy was shot down like a bastard stepson because it came out a week before Dark Knight. Because that was a good movie.
It was a good movie, yeah.
No, and it good. Just has this Hellboy who?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I still got to see it.
Hey, I saw it the day before I saw Dark Knight, so there you go. But anyway.
But you can't see Speed Racer.
You can't see Speed Racer until it comes out of DVD because it's out of theaters. But all right. Batman Returns, getting back to that. It introduced the concept of two villains in one movie. Number one, good idea or bad idea. Number two, how did they do the villains? And number three, did it live up to the hype of a second Batman movie? And we're going to go here first with Ziggo since I went to him last time.
You know, actually, Batman Returns was the first movie I ever saw in the movie theater, so it automatically holds a special place in my heart. But I have to say, to me, it was a lot better than Batman just for one villain or villainess, Catwoman. But then going back to Tim Burton's style, Gotham City is not a freaking circus, especially this one when everyone was bouncing around from trees. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, but the circus was running around. How can you say it's not a circus?
I ran a circus.
Gotham City was not a circus.
Well, it wasn't that movie, man. And I think it kind of worked. For that particular movie, for Returns, it worked. For Batman, it didn't work nearly as much, but for the Penguin, for the portrayal they had for him, the circus worked.
But don't get me wrong, it's just that's my only gripe about it. I mean, I have a lot of little cool visual moments, like in the beginning when Bruce Wayne is just sitting in his mansion, and then you just see the Batlight come out, and he just stands up like, okay, gotta do my thing. That was pretty cool for me, among other stuff.
Right. I forget, who was his love interest in Returns?
Catwoman.
Okay, so
Selina Kyle.
Okay, so it was just Selina Kyle. There was no blonde in this one or anything.
Selina Kyle.
Oh, it was Selina. Selina.
Okay, it was all Selina. Okay, all right.
They made a joke about Kim Basinger's character or something like that. I think
it was like, about Vicki Vale into the Batcave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like bringing all the chicks here really works out, Alfred, or something like that.
Well, you know, it's a bad harem.
And Pee Wee Herman made a cameo in this one. That was cool.
That was fun. Yeah. Well, you know, they went Lando with the first one, so they had to go Pee Wee with the next one.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one for me, I think it was definitely better than the first one. However, it's yet another one of those ones that didn't really live up to as good as it was for me on repeated viewings. But the first two or three times I saw it, I loved it. I guess maybe as I got older, I saw all those flaws just sticking out at me, and Danny DeVito wasn't nearly as convincing, and Catwoman's origin and, like, adding the whole supernatural element to it was sort of not really where I wanted it to go after that. But, again, on initial viewings, Batman Returns certainly was the movie I wanted to see. And, Brent, obviously, it was for you.
Yeah, it was the first Batman movie I ever saw, and it's got that special place in my heart because I have a whole bunch of the Batman Returns toys. Still. So, and I had, not the Batmobile, but the Batplane, mm-hmm. and he took the wings out, and it was a Batmobile with three wheels. I don't know what the fuck it was, but, so yeah, because I got the toys, and I had my birthday around that time, when the movie came out, my parents hired one of my neighbors to dress up in a Batman costume and drive his black car over to Burger King, where we had my party, and I got to meet Batman.
You had a party?
It does hold a special place in my heart. But watching it now, it doesn't hold up. Like, it's a little too weird. I like that the Batsuit is a lot better in the second movie. It's a lot sleeker. It's a lot less bulky. Mm-hmm. The head, the cowl is just like a huge difference from Batman 89 to Batman Returns. Oh my God. Like, I cannot stand watching Batman 89 and seeing those like things sticking out of what's his face's cheeks, you know, where it's like so the rubber's so thick. You can see like the thickness of the rubber suit on his cheeks. You can see the edges and stuff. Mm-hmm. Can't stand looking at that. So when Batman Returns comes and it's so sleek and looks silver and shiny, I was just like, oh, yes, that is an awesome-looking Batman suit.
And it's still enough like the original one where there wasn't much of a jump. But it was just streamlined enough where it just looked more like the Batman.
Yeah, you could tell that they actually spent like more time designing it and making it look better. But the thing I can't stand about that movie is that Batman kills motherfuckers like crazy. Mm-hmm. He just tosses them over the side and tosses bombs at them. And it's like once I saw that again, and I was like, I knew Batman, you know, when I'm not six or whatever, I was like, Batman doesn't kill. What is he doing right here? He's killing like every one of these clowns in the very beginning of the movie, and he goes off and lets Penguin die or stuff like something like that. I don't exactly remember, but he kills like at least 10 people, and it's like, how are you supposed to be a hero if you're killing people? And that's not the whole point of Batman.
He kills through the first – I think the last time he kills somebody is in Batman Forever, and then he actually lets everybody live in Batman and Robin. But, yeah, I agree.
Well,
he kills everybody off.
We know as much as anybody, since obviously we are the comic fans here. Obviously, this is Comic Timing, but that once upon a time, Batman did kill. I mean, that was part of his character when it was originally created, and even throughout his early life until Robin was introduced – there would be instances where Batman would kill. I mean, hell, when he first started out, he was carrying a freaking gun. I mean, obviously, that's not part of the character anymore, but I guess Burton was perhaps trying to go more to the root of the character than the Batman that we were used to, and that's why it's so disturbing to us.
What are these movies you guys speak about, this Batman Forever and Batman and Robin?
We'll get to them later. They exist, dude. They exist. We'll at least find one redeeming factor for each, maybe, kind of, sort of, maybe.
Well, the other thing that bothers me about Returns is that it's a lot more about the villains than Batman 89 ever was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, if you thought, you know, Batman, the first one, was all about the Joker, then you have, you know, and all about the villains, then you did not watch Batman Returns, because it seemed like that's all it was.
I'll give you that.
We rarely ever got Bruce Wayne and Alfred. You know, Alfred was like a two-line role in that movie, almost seemed like. And Bruce Wayne was barely in it.
In support of the villains.
Say again? You
know, exactly.
Bruce Wayne,
and the whole thing is
he could dance with Catwoman.
Penguin running for mayor with Christopher Walken as the sleazy, hamming it up as the sleazy CEO or whatever. It's just like, can we please do something else?
He was a waste in that movie.
Walken,
if it was a different actor, I think it would have been a little bit better. Because he was so chewing the scenery and hamming it up all the time, it just takes you out of the movie.
Juan, do it. Do it. We mentioned walking. Do it.
Hello, moon. Hello, June. Hello, cows. Jumping over the moon. Scooch forward, kids. Scooch. Keep scooching. Come over the park.
Word of me, we'll do it again.
Listen, Mr. Swear to me. Get the fuck out of my face. I don't care if you're a girl. I'll still punch you in the face. Now, I go speak to my alien friends and pretend to walk into a dead zone because I am Christopher fucking Walken. Where's Joe Dirt? Joe! Don't know what you said, Joe!
Juan Walken, ladies and gentlemen, Juan Walken. But yeah, I mean, it did take.
Juan Walken on Green Mile.
It did take
His
me.
Boots are made for walking.
And that's just what they'll do. But it did take me out of the movie a little bit on future viewings because I could just see that as Christopher Walken as opposed to a character in a Batman movie. And, you know, that's never good. You know, you have to believe that they're playing the character and they're not just playing themselves. And sometimes that's what Christopher Walken falls into. All you see is Christopher Walken and not the character he's playing.
That's right. Yeah.
Scooch forward, children. Scooch.
And actually, going with what Brent said also, and I'm going to bring this up to Brent and to everybody, and they can all respond on this, but Batman Returns was a further proof that Tim Burton had very little regard for Batman himself, but appreciated his villains, because again, going along with what Brent said, Batman Returns was even more about the villains than Batman. He could not find a way to make Batman be the main character. He saw Batman as a joke. And I think it's even more apparent in Batman Returns because of how little time you actually see Batman on there, and he focuses all on Catwoman and Penguin. You know, what does that say about a character when he can't even be the star of his own movie?
Well, it's not a joke. Maybe he just couldn't find anything that, to him, made Batman interesting a second time around.
Yeah, but he didn't find anything the first time.
Well, what he found for Batman was he found all the... I mean, he redesigned and came up with, you know, the funky Gotham City. He came up with penguins that walk around with missile packs on their back and everything. So Burton found everything else to turn on its head for Batman, and that's what he focused on instead of focusing on the actual character.
Well, I like the missile penguins. They were cool.
Yeah, I did like them too.
Intern, go. I need a mystic now. Make sure it's orange carrot. No. Could I just interject?
Go ahead.
What I Burton meant to say is that Batman, at some level, you have to accept Batman as a base level character, that he is there. He is part of the Gotham scenery. And Batman is only as good as the villains that define him. So when you had the two sides of the same coin in Batman 1989, you can't find that same relationship in Batman Returns. So he has to introduce two characters and take one character and completely bastardize it in order to tell a compelling story. And he wasn't successful. Selina Kyle was not relatable, in my opinion. And frankly, this whole Oswald Cobblepot, you felt sorry for him. You didn't really feel sorry that he was a psycho because he was justified.
Oh, I didn't feel sorry for him. He made me sick to my stomach.
You missed.
But he was justified in some of his anger.
Meh, no.
Well, he had mommy and daddy issues, but he could take that out on mommy and daddy instead of having to take it out on everybody else.
Yeah.
Yes, his parents are dead, Raph. We get that. But
His parents aren't dead.
No.
His parents are dead.
Oh, yeah, his parents are dead. Yeah,
his parents are dead.
Okay, stop. No one says that again on the show.
Says what?
Shut up.
I got you guys to say it how many times?
I swear. Okay, someone out there. That's it. I don't know what the prize is yet. But if somebody does a My Parents Are Dead counter for this episode and gives me a thorough count out of how many times My Parents Are Dead is said in this episode, you will win a prize.
With the timestamps.
Yes, with the timestamps. I want to know exactly when they happen, and you will win a prize. I have no idea what the hell it is yet, but I'm sure it's going to be good. Trust me.
No, don't.
This is a video of me kicking the shit out of Raph.
And Raph can't do this contest. Right, it doesn't count.
Well, you know what? I decided already what the prize is. You're going to win a copy of the Joker hardcover. I will buy a second copy. I will give it away to whoever does the My Parents Are Dead count with timestamps on this episode. You will win the Joker hardcover when it comes out. I'm calling it right here.
All members on the show that are on the show right now are no longer viable.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. Sorry.
Heroes Corner.
Yeah. Sorry. You said that you're going to sign up. That's it. It's over, man.
We've been neutered from the contest.
Yes.
I have not been neutered. In fact, my hand is on my ball sack right now.
Oh man.
Thanks for sharing.
And these puppies ain't dead.
Equinox, come on. You want to go a little more in depth on Returns?
You know what? Actually, I did not care for Returns. Definitely not as much as the first Batman movie. I thought Burton was just kind of got a little overinflated, head over himself, and just kind of started turning everything on its head and seeing how crazy and batshit he could turn Gotham City into. I didn't think that he had to take the Penguin character and totally, well, I don't know, you want to call him, just, he's not even grim and gritty. He's just disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, a fish eating, and not the good fish, a fish eating SOB that just wants to, you know, get his revenge on the city. Selina Kyle, well, if they'd actually killed her at the end of the movie, then maybe we wouldn't have gotten the Halle Berry movie.
That movie never existed, all right? I'm sorry. Batman and Forever and Batman and Robin happened. That movie never happened.
Yeah. But this movie, I mean, about the only thing I can say that it had going for it is we got like a short scene that had, I don't know what you want to call it, the the precursor to the Bat Pod, and that's about it.
Well, plus, actually, yeah, now that I think about it, Penguin, I felt more like he would have been more suited for like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie than this one.
Cowabunga!
I know where you live. Stop it with this shit.
My parents are dead.
No one else can say that for the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Okay?
Like I said, man, if you want to win a Joker hardcover, give us the freaking timestamps, all right?
Mi padre es muerto.
Other languages count. Other languages count.
Just fuego.
All right, but yeah, so Chris, I mean, were there any redeeming factors at all to it? Because, I mean, from the sounds of things, you didn't like it at all.
You know what? Not really. I really didn't. I didn't care for it at all. I thought walking, he was a waste in the movie. Like you guys had pointed out, I don't think they really focused on the Batman or Bruce Wayne character much at all. He was just window dressing. Mm-hmm. The movie kept up with the whole trend of killing off the villains as opposed to catching them and putting them behind bars. So, I mean, about the only maybe redeeming quality that wasn't part of the movie is the first Batman movie that came out with the new comic series, The Legends of the Dark Knight. And I think for Batman Returns, they came out with Batman Shadow of the Bat, as far as a comic series. Beyond that, it was pretty meh for me.
Well, I think that things would have worked out better had they not gone with such recognizable people to play the villains, because that's the reason they all killed them off. Because they knew for certain they would never get them back for other movies.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah, so I agree. That's where I think they're going right with the new series, because you can certainly get Liam Neeson back, and obviously you would have been able to get Heath Ledger back. Obviously, you can't now, but you know, they thought going in there that they'd certainly be able to get him back. I'll be curious to see where they go with that, but that's later on. Let's roll over to Raph here, Batman Returns.
I actually didn't see that movie until my 9th birthday. We rented it, and then we had a birthday party, and I watched Batman Returns.
Birthday party over.
I liked it a lot. I mean, I was so excited to see it because my parents wouldn't take me to the movie theater to see it, but I had seen Batman, and I was so dying for the sequel.
That was back before your parents were dead, right?
Actually, incidentally, they didn't die, but their marriage did, like, 6 months later. But anyway, yeah, it was pretty rough. Anyway, saw the movie. I was blown away by it. And, you know, I thought the villains were great. Now that I've seen it a couple of times, this is the best way I can put it. I mean, Tim Burton put a little bit of his style into the first Batman movie, but he totally Burtonized this movie. Like, all of the trademark Burton stuff is just in this. It's complete. It just permeates the movie. Not that I'm saying I don't like it, because I am a Tim Burton fan, but that is why I say I like Batman, the original one, now more than I do Returns, because I want, from a Batman movie, I don't want another person's style. I don't want another person's opinion. I want Batman. You give me Batman. And you didn't get that much Batman this one. And I mean, the villains are okay. They're not terrific. They're not, but I don't think they're the worst ones. We're getting to them real soon.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like, it's too much. It's too much of Burton's style in there. And again, I mean, like he seems to really subscribe to the belief that a hero is only as good as his villains. That's not true all the time. I mean, look at what Begins did, but we'll get to that later. I mean,
look at Superman.
He totally ignores Bruce Wayne. He ignores Batman. It's just not fair to the character. So I still like Batman Returns because, you know, again, childhood memories, but it's not as good as Batman.
Well, plus, one of the things about Batman Returns, if you were to entirely take Batman out of that movie, and I mean entirely, it would still be recognizable as a Tim Burton movie just by that. You know, you wouldn't still think, oh, this is Gotham City, it must be a Batman movie. Because it looks so much like something out of Tim Burton's head as opposed to something that's out of Batman's world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. And over to Mr. De Jesus.
It tried to do too much with too little. And like you guys said, it shouldn't have been called Batman Returns, because guess what? He was only in it for about 20 minutes of the whole 97 minutes. In essence, you got some characters that were grounded in the Batman universe that Tim Burton has built, but you didn't get any substance to the characters that get Lendum import in order for you to understand Batman better. They were just characters for the sake of characters in order to get you to believe that Batman has to fight against them, and in that it failed.
If you think about Returns movies, though, Batman Returns is at least better than the Mummy Returns. You'll give it that much.
Yeah, I'll give it that much.
Good, good. Okay, so
I like the Mummy Returns better than Batman Returns.
Oh. Yeah, me too.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that.
Anaxuna Moon.
I haven't seen Mummy Returns in such a long time, and I have to watch it again.
I remember seeing Mummy Returns and just turning to a friend of mine and just going like, look, it's the Mummy, and he's returning. Plot point.
And there's the Rock.
For 30 seconds. Uh-huh. Going, ah!
And then arching his eyebrow and giving the people's elbow.
If you smell
what the rock is cooking. But, okay. But when comparing Batman Returns to Batman and Robin and Batman Forever, certainly the better movie of those four movies, you know?
Disagree.
I'm sorry, which movies?
Okay. Batman Forever, Batman and Robin.
I'm sorry, what?
Batman Forever, Batman and Robin.
What are these movies you
see? Never heard of them.
Well, let's get into them now.
Where's the rating for Returns?
All right. Yeah, fine. You're right about that. All right. Rating for Returns, Chavez.
Four.
Brent.
Five.
All right. Juan.
3.5.
All right. Raph.
Raph.
Hey, fuck.
Wake up, Raph.
Yo.
6.5.
There you go. That's better. 6.5. All right. Ziggo.
6.5 also.
I'll give it a solid 5. Would have been it would have been better when I was a kid, but when I look back at it now, it's a solid 5.
I'll still give it that 6.5 just because of that childhood connectivity.
Yeah, same here. That's the only reason why I've graded them so high so far.
Yeah.
I mean, I firmly remember going to see all the Batman movies at the Kingsway Movie Theater, which no longer exists on Kings Highway in Brooklyn. And I
remember that.
Back in the day when I used to be able to just walk down my street to go to the movies, and now I gotta, you know, take a train to a bus just to get to a movie theater. But I digress. That's kind of why I remember these so well. But all right, Forever. It went Forever and then Robin. It's been so long that I've seen them, and I try to get them out of my heads. I forget so often, but it was Forever and then Robin, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the most non-correctly named movies in existence.
Batman Forever. Which you would think would be the last of the series, considering it's called Batman Forever.
I don't understand what they were trying to play off of. McDonald's had a successful glass cup campaign.
Has anyone seen the deleted scenes on the newest Batman Forever DVD?
I have not.
No.
I don't have any of the DVDs.
I will not purchase that.
No, I like Batman Forever. Oh. Batman 89, it is my second place Batman movie.
Whoa.
I like Batman Forever.
Well,
me too.
I gotta hear this. Hold
it
on.
It is not as bad. It gets lumped in there with Batman and Robin just because it has the same day glow neon crap and Joel Schumacher. But it is the superior film of the two Schumacher films, and I'll say it is the superior of Batman Returns.
Okay,
I agree.
Fully explain
it's
yourself.
It's superior.
Okay, I like it. I guess I'll go first, and then I'll get into the DVD stuff. I like it because you get a feel of like the psychology of Batman. You get more of a portrait of Bruce Wayne here. You dive deeper into his origins. You know, he's remembering stuff, not just about how his parents died, but of what happened after it. He just resigns himself that he's going to be Batman forever, basically is what that means. And especially with the addition of Robin, he's going to be Batman for a long, long time.
Okay. Could I just say
the title comes from?
Could I just say
but
that Val
they don't? They don't. Well. They don't put that in the movie because there are these scenes that are on the newest DVD, the 2-disc set that came out 2 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen these on YouTube. Okay. All right.
Yeah, there are on YouTube. There was a scene in the original trailer where Batman or Bruce Wayne is in the Batcave somewhere off of it and comes face to face with this huge ass motherfucking bat, you know, like huge, ginormous, like staring into its eyes. So, you know that whole thing in the movie where he's reading his dad's journal or something like that, or he's remembering reading it?
Huh?
They kind of go nowhere with that. Well, they cut out like two or three big scenes that have to do with that plot line, which basically says, you know, this is why I'm going to be Batman forever. I don't know why they cut them. It only adds on like 10 minutes to the whole movie, but it's like a huge part of that movie. I don't know why they were cut.
I want to see somebody reinsert.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I bet if you added those in, I'm sure you would have a lot better movie. Even though it has nothing to do with the villains or stuff, just the motivation behind Batman makes it a lot better.
Hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I do remember seeing those and liking them. In fact, I think somebody on YouTube actually even made, like, added the score from other scenes in the movie to this to try and give it, like, a full movie feel. And I remember actually appreciating it, but I would have to see them reinserted into the movie to really see whether or not it's up there beating Returns and Batman in my mind. But I know that you're saying that you like the Bruce Wayne aspects. What about the parts of the villains? I mean, Jim Carrey's over-the-top Riddler and Tommy Lee Jones' flat Two-Face kind of detriment the movie.
I will say that I love Jim Carrey as Riddler. He was funny. He was hilarious. I mean, it's the same. I think they're going along the same lines of the example that Jack Nicholson set up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, Jack Nicholson was the Joker, but he was playing Jack Nicholson. Jim Carrey was Riddler, but he's playing Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura, all the way. Tommy Lee Jones, I don't know who the hell he was playing, but Tommy Lee Jones was just, like, kicking back and having a damn good time.
He was playing Lando.
No, but, like I do not like Batman Forever because of the deleted scenes. I like it because I like it. Okay. Like, I liked it before I saw the deleted scenes. I'll say that, just to justify my answer. It also has a special place in my heart because I had the Batmobile from that movie, the actual toy, which was awesome.
Kenner
I had a lot of these toys.
Then, right?
Yeah, okay. I had a lot of these Batman Forever and Batman Returns toys. Can you tell?
Yes.
I still have a bunch of them, I think. I don't have the Batmobile anymore. I wish I did, but that was cool. It lit up and shit. It was awesome. Anyway, but I like the performances. Tommy Lee Jones is kind of fun as Two-Face, even though he's a one-note Two-Face, you know? He rarely ever goes into Harvey Dent mode.
I like that he's a one-note Two-Face.
As a crazed lunatic, he pretty fits. He does a pretty good job.
You got any more left? Right? Yeah, there we go. Okay. Just wanted to make sure you got it all out of your system. But I guess I can understand where you're God damn it, Raph! all right. I mean, I do understand where you're coming from there, though, and this does... You know, touch on our point that, you know, there wasn't enough Batman in the first two movies. There certainly is a hell of a lot more Batman in Batman Forever than there is in any of the other two movies. So
maybe Batman Forever would have been better if they would have explained how Bruce Wayne felt about his parents dying. Mm-hmm. The fact that his parents are dead. Yes. if you go ahead and you deal with the fact that his parents are dead.
Yes, he said it!
You go ahead and you show that Batman has accepted his role and the fact that he can't bring back his parents who are dead.
By the way, variations on it do count. Just so people know.
There's like 12 of them in there.
I know.
Parents are dead of Bruce Wayne.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God.
Dead parents my die parents in front of a young man.
Dead.
We're going to have people pulling their hairs out, all right? Trying to
save you some money.
Yeah,
my parents are died.
I want my parents.
I'm trying to save you some money.
Batman's parents are dead. Barbecue sauce.
Parents are dead.
You just killed me. I'm sorry. I'm dead, like my parents.
I thought somebody was doing that in the background, like singing the Baby Back Ribs.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
This was, man.
Work with it. Work with me on this.
Me and Chris. Where was this that night?
I'm here. I still need my Mystic.
Okay, but hold on. Let me roll back to Batman Forever for a minute and ask Brent one more question about it before I roll on to the next person. What about the bat suit? I mean, this was the first bat suit that was more of an armor than a suit.
And nipples.
No. Nipples, let's not even touch on that. All right, bat nipples are more Batman and Robin than Batman Forever, but...
They are there in Batman Forever. It's just not as noticeable.
Not as nipple. Yeah.
They are there.
It wasn't as cold in the movie, so you couldn't notice them as much, but... but yeah, I mean, what do you think of the change in the outfits? I mean, this was the first major change we saw.
I liked it. It did have a faded yellow on that first one he was wearing, so you didn't have your issue, Ian, with... You know, Batman, you can see the yellow in the dark.
Right.
It was like a faded, it was like a more of a mustardy yellow.
Mm-hmm.
In the first go around. And then the end suit, I don't know if I like that or not. I like the original suit he was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do like that. And Val Kilmer looked damn good in it. I did like Val Kilmer both as Batman and as Bruce Wayne, but I think he was a better Bruce Wayne than he was a Batman.
I agree.
Just because his Batman didn't seem to have an alter ego, you know? Batman seemed to be Bruce Wayne in a suit, mm-hmm. but his Bruce Wayne was better. But back to the second bat suit, I don't know. The huge bat on the chest, I guess we have that in the Batman Begins movie, but at least it's not the ice suit, I guess. It was okay.
Yeah.
But I like the original suit that he was wearing throughout the most of the movie the best.
Mm-hmm. And what about Robin? Just to touch on that real quick, because obviously this was the first movie to have Robin. And in Christian Bale's words, if they ever introduce Robin in my Batman series, I'm chaining myself to a bed and not going to work.
If they introduce a Robin mom. And give him $20 million on top of everything else, plus royalties, he'll do whatever they ask him.
Point well
taken. I don't know. I actually give him credit for chaining himself to a bed.
Yeah, but then he'll just lose the weight like the machinist and slip out.
or perhaps like in the Prestige, he'll cut off a arm or something like that.
A finger.
Yeah, or the fingers. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Let me just give props to Val Kilmer. He should have won an Academy Award for Batman Forever because he is the only person I know who could react and emote to that mannequin that was standing with him in some scenes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was wearing that beautiful blonde wig, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who? I thought that was a mannequin. I'm sorry. Was that Nicole
like
Kidman?
Mrs. Tom Cruise at that time? You can understand her plight there. She couldn't act. I mean, look at Katie Holmes. Oh.
Well, Katie Holmes couldn't act from the
don't
start.
Hate on Katie. Don't hate.
Hey. Let's not talk about Kate Bosworth.
I can hate on Katie as much as I want, all right?
I used to love Katie Holmes, but let's not go there just yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, how much masks?
We're not there yet.
But
anyway, Brent, touch on Robin a little bit.
But, Robin
but don't touch Robin. Don't touch Robin. That's bad.
I'm sorry.
Really, shut the fuck up. Damn, I was angry. Robin suit I thought was horrendous. Just the whole thing. I really did not like that Robin suit. Just the colors to me, the purple and the green did not match. And no, it's not a dark red. That shit was fucking purple. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just... Yeah, yuck.
Well, isn't it funny, though, that they released a Robin figure with the Batman Returns stuff because Robin was getting really big then, and it basically had Tim Drake's outfit? Why couldn't they just put Tim Drake's outfit in this movie?
Yeah. It was Tim Drake's outfit, wasn't it?
It was more Nightwing.
The best guy
it was full-length arms on the sleeves.
Well, yeah, but however, they modded the colors, and they made it like a cross between Nightwing and Robin.
Yeah.
What? No.
It was like full armor.
No, that was for Batman and Robin.
Yeah. It was full armor. Batman and Robin, he had the Nightwing suit on.
Yeah, he had the Nightwing
suit
on.
For this, he had the Robin suit with the R and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Just he didn't have the short sleeves, which I thought was a good move.
Okay. All right. But at least give him the proper colors. Give me that.
Green, red, and yellow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So but were you at least happy with Chris O'Donnell's performance?
No, he was way too old. Way too old Robin. He looks like he was like 2 years younger than Val Kilmer. That's so funny.
I'm doing the Joker laugh.
Why so sweet?
I thought my jokes were bad. Apparently you taught me there, Brent.
All right, fine. Juan, you got something to say about Batman and Batman Forever?
You know what? Listening to Brent's points and thinking that I saw it at least 3 times this weekend because it was on TBS, which means you can't help but see the movie because they play it every single hour. You know, there is some redeeming quality to Val Kilmer's performance in specific. And the scenes between Kilmer and Carrie, they're actually pretty engaging. Regardless of anything else that's wrong with the movie. You know what? Dick Grayson wasn't that stupid. And Chris O'Donnell played him a little bit buffoonish.
I think Chris O'Donnell took the name a little bit too seriously. Because he was truly a dick in this
movie. Oh, yeah. It was horrible.
Ooh.
No. He's right. He's 100% right. I didn't empathize with Dick Grayson at all. He was just a tool. A little bit more, he'd have a ponytail.
Like 80s Nightwing?
No. Don't bring back 80s Nightwing. But in all, I think the only good part to this movie was probably Val Kilmer Batman and Jim Carrey and Alfred in the Batcave. No one said anything about Alfred. He's been a stalwart in all of these movies. It was the same Alfred.
It was the same Alfred.
He's been fucking boring in all of these movies. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I mean, well, you know what? He played the sort of Alfred that I would expect. You know, this was more the butler Alfred. Not nearly as awesome as he was in the animated series, but...
Yeah, I enjoy the animated series of Alfred.
Oh, yeah.
Much better than boring-ass butler Alfred.
No question, but you can give me that the animated series Alfred initially was based upon this Alfred. I mean, if you go from that season one voice that Alfred had, I mean, the later voice I like significantly better. After season one, there's a different voice for Alfred, but... Just in comparison, I think that he was the fatherly butler figure that Batman needed in these movies, at least. In later ones, obviously, Michael Caine's going to go to the next level, but he was adequate as Alfred, except for in Batman and Robin, when everyone sucked. But at least here, he was good.
At least in that movie, he had the sense to try and die.
It's McGregor syndrome.
He was trying to get away from the craptastic movie. Let me die.
I'm holding back my Alicia Silverstone rant for at least another 5 minutes. But
don't bring that up, please.
All right. But so Brent swayed you a little bit on Forever. Is it better than Returns to you, or is it still okay? All right.
Now it is. You want to know why? Because he was right about Val Kilmer engaging you as the Batman.
All right.
But
sorry,
Brent also brought up the good point that there was no dichotomy between Bruce Wayne and Batman, and that you had to see that to understand what was going on in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, Brent, you know, you did your job well as a reviewer.
Woo! Yeah, in fact, you know what? I think he might have even swayed me, which is hilarious because I was putting it down earlier. Because I'm remembering it now. I'm remembering specifically those scenes you mentioned on YouTube. Obviously, that's not just going to sway me on the movie itself, but I remember watching those scenes and going, damn, that's good. Like, I mean, this is the best Val Kilmer acted in the entire thing. I mean, he got so depressed about Batman Forever that he got ridiculously fat afterwards. So, I mean, I'm thinking that maybe had they kept these scenes in, he'd still be a slim guy to this day. I mean, you never know, really. I mean, he maybe would have laid off the cream puffs a little bit, but...
He'd be Iron if he had laid off the cream puffs.
He'd be Iron Man.
Hey, have you seen Spartan? Have you seen Spartan with Val Kilmer?
No, I haven't.
Go see it. It's an excellent movie. Excellent.
Is he fat?
No.
Okay. All right. So this is before he got fat.
Yeah.
Now he's the fat.
And Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is awesome too.
Now he's
Kiss
fat.
Kiss Bang Bang is just ridiculously good.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just that now he's the fat voice of Knight Rider. But anyway, so just rolling back to that, he did play a good Bruce Wayne. His Batman was decent. I think that he was probably the most balanced of the three Batman we got in the initial four movies. I think that, you know, he played a good enough Batman and a good enough Bruce Wayne for me to not think one over the other. And although the villains were kind of crap at times, Jim Carrey was amusing. I think, and other people have brought this up over the years, and I sort of agree with it a little bit, had you reversed the roles, had you had Jack Nicholson play the Riddler and Jim Carrey play the Joker, I think you would have gotten better movies out of the two. You would have better performances out of the two.
Yeah.
So
I can see that.
Obviously, we can't turn back time and change things, but I think Jim Carrey.
You can if you're Sarah.
Yeah, that's perfectly true. But I can't. So I'm sorry. I'm not even going to mention Tommy Lee Jones. I think it was terrible. But Jim Carrey was good enough for me to at least say, all right, we got at least one here. But so
joygasm.
Joygasm, indeed.
Joygasm.
Plus, I kind of wish that Batman and Robin didn't go through the production hell it did, because the initial ideas for Batman and Robin said it's so good, because the movie Batman and Robin was going to start off originally. At least this was one of the proposed scripts, where there was going to be a scene in Arkham Asylum with the Riddler, Jim Carrey reprising his role, and you see the Mad Hatter kill him and take his technology, and he becomes the Mad Hatter. And that would have been what ended up happening. He would have visited him in jail, gotten his technology, and killed him. He would have become the Mad Hatter. That would have been pretty awesome. But Mad Hatter obviously wasn't in the Batman and Robin movie. They changed their minds. He did a crap-ass movie. But going back to Batman Forever, I think was good enough to be second on my list as well. So that's what I'm going to say. And let's roll to Ziggo.
Oh, I thought we were done reviewing it.
What?
That means your comment. No, your comment sounded like a closing comment.
Well,
that's why.
Well,
it was so good. That's a compliment. That's a compliment.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
But Juan, take care of your intern.
Yeah, sorry.
School him.
I'll go get that. What was that? A mystical? You needed a mystical? All right, cool.
No, I don't need a mystical. I need
not
a
magic.
God, someone get me a good Mexican.
I'm not Mexican.
Hey, I'm
That's
Mexican.
The problem. If you were Mexican, I would have gotten a mystic half an
Mexican?
Hour ago when I asked for it.
Wait, Chris, you're Mexican?
Yes.
Oh. 100%.
That's his last name.
Wow. Chavez.
What?
Chavez.
Oh.
They go.
What?
This is your verbal warning.
No.
Okay, actually, si no me tienes, es culpa tuyo. Pero te voy a decir esto una vez. Quiero el Mystic y lo quiero ahora. Si no, tus padres van a estar muertos.
Wait, hold on. Let me get out my Spanish English dictionary. Hold on.
He said something about getting him an asticle and something about dying with dildos.
Okay, cool. That's what I figured. All right.
Now, for proper translation, if you don't get me my Mystics, your parents are going to be dead.
Leroy, start talking before I cut Juan's mic off somehow. Go ahead.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. The thing about Batman Forever was the first I think that's the only Batman movie I didn't see in the movie theater. I actually saw it here on pay-per-view back during the Black Box days when pay-per-view was free. Yeah. But going back, I got to agree with pretty much mostly what Brent said. Val Kilmer played an amazing Bruce Wayne. You know, and to this day, I will say it's still in terms of who played Bruce Wayne, I'm still tied between Val Kilmer and Christian Bale because I really liked Val Kilmer's Bruce Wayne.
Wow.
Yeah, I did actually. With what's his face? The Riddler. Jim Carrey as the Riddler. He wasn't the Riddler from the animated series, which I was mostly exposed to, but he did play a good role in that.
He was a little more psychotic.
He was a little more psychotic, a little more crazy, a little more goofy, and at the time, I loved Riddler. And also, the whole story, the whole origin that they gave to Robin at the time, I was a big Robin fan. I was a huge, huge Robin fan, so I was really happy to see finally a movie with Robin in it. So I'm like, all right, we have Robin. Let's go. Let's see what's going on. You know, they changed a couple things with the murderers of what happened and what really went down. But still, I was happy to have Robin. And overall, I'm going to have to go with what you guys were saying earlier. You know, with the deleted scenes inserted into the movie, I think it would have been better. It wasn't the best Batman movie, but it was something.
Well, and
it's something I can watch, like, you know, if I'm bored on a rainy day, okay, once in a while. That's how I say it.
That's
and actually pay attention to it.
Yeah.
I will only see this movie if I'm bored on a rainy day and I'm tired of watching Ice Road Truckers on History Channel.
and Cool Runnings isn't on.
Oh, that is such a great movie.
Yes, I know. But, all right. And I forgot to mention Robin, so let me just touch on that real quick. Chris O'Donnell wasn't the right choice because he looked almost as old as Val Kilmer. And it's kind of hard to have, like, a foster child that's almost your age.
How old was he supposed to be in the movie?
Anybody know, guys?
Like 17 or 18?
16 or 17?
Yeah,
you don't get adopted at 18.
You can't adopt anyone at 18.
Get adopted at 18.
I thought it was like 16 or 17.
Yeah. No, he was 21. He was drinking in the movie, but yeah. He was probably supposed to be 16. He didn't look 16 at all. He was like a Beverly Hills 90210 16.
Yeah, I say that what saved the movie for me personally was just the way Jim Carrey was being. Because if Jim Carrey wasn't in this movie would be a lot less than what it was.
Hear, hear.
Especially at the end with the whole Arkham Asylum when, what was the doctor's name? Nicole Kidman's character? Meridian?
Chase Meridian's.
When she was like, oh, do you know who Batman is? Can you tell me? And he just came out with the broken thing. I'm Batman! The way he was just freaking out and laughing. That was cool.
I know. Batman.
Yeah, he's not faking that one. He really is crazy.
but yeah, just touching one more time on Robin here. They should have chose somebody different. It was cool to have Robin in the movie and have him not completely suck, but he sucked enough for me to never want to see Robin in the movie again.
My pants are dead.
Yeah,
just Robin's. Did. My parents are dead.
I just robbed.
I want a Robin signal in the sky, not just a Batman signal. I want my Redbird to go out there every night and blah, 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 Batman, because I got $2 billion in the title of this movie.
I have a question about
Batman. Because you turned off my motorcycle, and now we're talking about Batman and Robin.
I have a quick question about Two-Face in this movie. In his apartment, you see how everything was split down the middle? Does he stay on that middle side, or does he hang out on, like, the whole left side or right side?
I think he flips a coin every day to see which side he's going to be on. So once a week, he can't go to the bathroom.
And his toilet, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is his toilet, like, literally right there, split down the middle also with everything else? So,
one side is for poo and one side is for pee.
He needs to hover. Okay. Two-Face was more one-and-a-half-face in this movie, so I'd like to refer to him as one-and-a-half-face for the rest of this episode, at least when we're talking about Tommy Lee Jones, because he wasn't a full Two-Face. He was just the guy who flipped a coin. So that's not
even.
Yeah.
Not even, because even when he flipped a coin, he wasn't being Two-Face. He was just flipping it for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more, he would have asked if he danced with the devil in the pale moonlight as your parents die.
Whoa. Raph. Forever. Batman. You.
When I was 10 and I saw this in the movie theater, I thought it was the greatest Batman movie of all time. Mm-hmm. Bar none. This is why. And, of course, my thoughts have changed, but let me explain it at that point. Val Kilmer physically was Batman, and when he was in the Batman suit, stuntman or no, this, whoever was doing the moves in the stunt suit was incredibly athletic. He did a lot of flipping, a lot more athletic moves that that weren't in Burton's movies. For some reason, I thought Tommy Lee Jones' Two-Face was great. His opening monologue, I actually was able to repeat word for word when I was a kid because I loved it so much. I don't know why. I just did. The thing about the Riddler is, if you remember the Adam West, if you've seen the Adam West TV show, Frank Gorshin played the Riddler. And the way he played him was he'd throw out a riddle and he'd laugh like a maniac. Jim Carrey, when he played the Riddler, would throw out a riddle and laugh like a maniac, which I thought was more Joker territory always than Riddler, because in the cartoon, Riddler didn't laugh that much. And, you know, in the comics, he doesn't laugh that much. So I thought Jim Carrey would have made a more interesting Joker than a Riddler, but I was okay with that. So, yeah, and there's a lot of development in Bruce Wayne, a lot we didn't see before. I really got to understand Bruce Wayne and the psychology that goes behind him. So that's And I got to see Robin, who I was also a big fan of. Mm-hmm. And he was a martial artist, and he was an acrobat, and he showed off his moves, and he looked really cool. So this is me at 10. Now, me at 15, 20 now, yeah, Robin's like 8 years too old to play Robin. Tommy Lee Jones, aside from a handful of moments, is horrible. He's just hamming it up, doing mm-hmm. I don't even know what that's supposed to be. And the movie just goes into a weird place when they start showing off their nipples.
And butt. Don't forget the butt.
Oh, yeah, and the ass shots.
Oh,
and, I mean,
God.
Rubber butt.
You do not need a sculpted bat butt.
I know, seriously.
You do seriously. If you don't have an ass.
Actually, can I just comment on that real quick?
No!
On an interview... No, not like that.
Oh, okay.
On an interview, they were actually asking Joel Schumacher why did he put the bat nipples and the rubber butt and all that, and he said, because Batman is sexy.
I
swear, he said that.
I thought he was going to say, I wanted to play Batman gay in this one.
I don't know.
Well,
No. His excuse on the DVDs is that he was trying to... with each suit, they were going for a more anatomically correct look. So, anatomically correct, nipples.
So, why didn't he have a bat penis?
That was supposed to be his Batman Begins, but they kicked him out already.
Oh, okay, all right.
Wah, 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 wah.
But, hey, fuck you guys. I'm sleepy.
All right, let's rank it, babies. Yeah, let's go. Juan.
Oh, babies. Juan. You could call me Babe.
Sir Juan of De Jesus, please rank the movie.
5.5.
All right, Brent.
7.
Bitch, you stole my rating again!
Oh, same here.
Raph.
7.1.
Okay.
What is this? You slab
you know
book?
What? I gave the first one a 6.6. I'm going to give this one a solid 6.5. And we run.
6.4.
Ooh.
And no, wait. That's more than Returns in the first one. 5.4.
There you go. That's better.
Yeah.
All right. One more of the crap fest before we get to the good movies.
All right, I'm turning my mic off. F this.
All right. No. Rap. You shut the fuck up, and you're going to talk about the crap fest, all right? All right?
I haven't talked about it in years.
Well, what killed the dinosaurs?
The Ice Age!
Not Duma!
You have 11 minutes to throw off the little bird boy. Wait. If not, you'll die forever.
Let's
wait
get
here.
Some ice.
I'll be back.
It's not a Duma.
Hello, everybody.
John Connor. Oh, wait. It's the Batman.
Right.
Wrong movie.
Right, Bane? All right, here we go. Batman and Robin. Now, instead of asking you what was good, obviously I'm going to ask you what is bad. And
if we just say what was good.
All right, fine. First off, what was good? And second of all, where did it all go wrong? That's the best way I'll put it. Because I don't think anybody's going to say that this movie was good.
It was made. That's where it went wrong.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you first one, but let me finish asking my question first, okay?
Ask Chris.
All right, Chris. All right, I'll ask Chris first. All right. Give us what was your redeeming factor of it? Where did it all go wrong? And was George Clooney at least Bruce Wayne for you? Because I know that George Clooney mentioned actually in at least one of the commentaries for this that yes, he was actually playing Batman gay. I'm not even joking. He mentioned that at least once that he was playing Batman gay. So I'm gonna throw Batman out because we know it was a piece of shit. But Chris, let's get your good and where it went wrong.
The redeeming qualities were Alicia Silverstone's ass.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uma Thurman's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Bane's ass.
McPherson's ass.
El McPherson's ass. And that's about it.
Okay. All right. Well, where did it all go wrong?
Trying to get Arnold to play comedy. That was just wrong. Wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong. Shit.
Maybe those people had tumors.
Yeah. And bat nipples. Bat nipples. This no, you don't have bat nipples. No matter how the fuck cold it is. It was just wrong. It was a circle jerk all the way around.
Did you at least like Alicia Silverstone's Batgirl outfit?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was about it.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, good. That worked. So there wasn't one scene in this movie, one scene at all that made you think, all right, that wasn't that terrible?
Maybe about the only one was the motorcycle race. That's about it.
Alright.
There was a motorcycle race?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was a different movie. No, I'm being honest. I'm not being facetious at all. I honestly thought that was a different movie.
Oh, my God. All right. Leroy, I know you got some good things to say, so roll it up.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I'm going to go with everyone. The movie was terrible. Obviously. But actually, I really liked the whole Mr. Freeze's story arc. I mean, Arnold was not a great Mr. Freeze, but the way it was written, you know, the whole thing about him trying to still find a cure for his wife and the reason why he's doing what he's doing is for his wife. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I thought that was really nice. And I don't know, that's what held the movie together for me at one certain point, because he felt bad about him after a while. Everything he was doing was justified at the end, and then, you know, Batman's like, hey, look, you know, my butler's going through the same thing. Can you help me out? Yeah, sure, no problem. It was that story arc, and also Poison Ivy for a good 10 minutes was pretty good, and then I don't know what happened where she just went downhill. I guess is when she went pedophile on Robin or something. I have no idea when it was.
Where's the paperboy, Robin?
He said, I want a Robin signal in the sky.
No. You know exactly where it went wrong, all right? The minute Bane came on the fucking screen, it went wrong.
I know where it went wrong. I know exactly where Mr. Freeze went to change into his suit, and he pulled out a Swanson's Hungry Man in order to open a door to his hideout.
You know, just things like that. Like, the whole Mr. Freeze thing was cool. Poison Ivy to a certain extent. But then, after a while, obviously how they messed up things like Barbara Gordon's origins, the techno-raving thing going on, Bane, obviously. And I really don't want to bash too much on this movie, so I'll just leave it at that. Mr. Freeze's story arc is what kind of held it for me on a certain level. After that, it's just...
Hey, what about Clooney?
Who?
Clooney. You know, the guy who played Batman in the movie?
Oh. Oh, yeah.
All right, good enough.
Stick to ER. That's all I got to say.
And directing. He's actually a good director.
Cash the check. Yeah. Be happy you got paid.
Uh-huh. All right, Raph, you next.
I'm going to agree with Ziggo on a few points. The Poison Ivy at times was very good, but most of the time it was like, dear God, what are you doing, Uma? I mean, can't you just like act seriously for a second? I mean, it took Kill Bill for me to respect her as an actress again, really.
I don't know. What's wrong with the bat?
One of my favorite moments actually is when she references the anatomically correct rubber suits. She actually says that in the movie, and I'm like, oh my God, that's how bad the movie is. It has to like self-reference. Mr. Freeze's storyline, it was terrific, and there were like one or two scenes where Arnold actually carried the emotion pretty well. Mm-hmm. The Bruce Wayne of Danny Ocean wasn't too bad, I guess. Yeah.
Well,
so. Yeah.
Well, I was going to make a statement. I mean, the Mr. Freeze arc was so good that they continued it in the animated series.
Yeah, which is what they had its own animated movie, right? Sub-Zero, I think.
It's much better.
Yeah. It's not even just that. There was also the episode where, like, almost like directly after the movie came out, they had the Mr. Freeze episode where they were talking about not being able to save the wife and all that.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember that. Oh, okay. And And also, the stuff that Chris liked about the movie, I also liked about the movie. So those are my redeeming points of the fourth Batman movie in the past 20 years, the second Joel Schumacher Batman movie, the one starring George Clooney, the one I refuse to say the name of to this day. Where it went wrong, and this is, I first thought this was funny, when the first Superman reference, I was like, oh, okay, it's nice, it's going to be funny. And then that was fine. Okay, I have nothing wrong with. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But then, when we see the museum that Mr. Freeze is breaking into, and then you hear "What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age." After that, I didn't pay money to see this movie. I didn't go to movie theater.
Chill my out, Batman.
My mom's friend bought the bootleg and lent it to us.
Oh, great.
And as soon as I saw that. And I was 12 at this time. And remember, I have a history for liking bad movies. I turned it off. And I was like, I'm going to watch this whenever I'm like really bored. I'm not going to get to it.
I got scared for a minute there. I thought you were going to say you were 12 years old and you told mom, say, what is this piece of shit?
That's
maximum.
Listen. I don't like roast duck, okay?
Oh, no Coke Pepsi.
So those are my thoughts on the fourth Batman movie that came out in 1997. The one starring George Clooney. The second one by Joe Schumacher.
I won't talk.
Yeah, alright. Brent, talk about the movie. For the love of God, talk about the movie.
So good things about the movie? Or?
Give us the one or two good things that might have been good about it and where it went wrong.
Good things.
He's just like
Robin's Nightwing. Robin's Nightwing costume, kind of cool seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
even though he wasn't Nightwing,
but he did reference wanting the name.
No, that was
in the
Forever.
First movie. That was in Forever. Yeah.
Well, third, yeah. There goes one less percentage point to Batman and whatever the fuck this name is.
The second Joel Schumacher Batman movie.
Which remains nameless. All right. Come on. Continue, Brent. Where did they go wrong?
Ice skates popping out from the boots.
Yes.
The bat visa.
Oh, my God. Never skate without it.
I totally forgot about that.
John Glover from Smallville.
Oh, you also forgot the Batmobile with the OnStar system.
The Batmobile without a lid. What if it flips over? Where's the seat that you put the retard in? You know, you gotta save somebody. Where do you put him?
Yay! Yay! Virgil!
Where do you put those guys?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. Plus,
that's Gotham freezing over in a split second, and then bringing out the ice vehicles.
Yeah, that was messed up, and Barbara Pennyworth too.
Yeah. Oh, that's my niece. Oh, really? When did you have a girlfriend?
No, it wasn't Barbara Pennyworth. It was Barbara Wilson.
Yeah, fuck it. It's Barbara Pennyworth. I don't care, man.
I'm on Wikipedia. Sorry, I'm just.
I know, dude. I know. It's just that. No, I don't even care what her last name was. It's Barbara Pennyworth to me because that's how ridiculous the movie was.
Great butt, though.
Yeah, that's true. She did have a very nice ass. All right, Juan, you want to talk your bad?
This movie broke my spirit because I wanted to see it so bad. And then I felt really bad about 5 minutes in. Then I made my mother spend $5.25 for the movie. And then I said, I'm sorry. Do you want to go next door and watch Lord of Illusion with Scott Bakula?
There's a straight up.
And she goes, I think we should.
Oh, man.
And we get up and we don't even pay for the movie because we felt we were robbed. And we go to watch Lord of Illusion with Scott Bakula. Which was a far superior movie in every sense of the way.
I'm sorry. Any movie with Scott Bakula is bound to be superior.
And you know what? He didn't even have Dean Stockwell telling him that he needs to change back into the body of a woman in order to write the timeline.
All right.
Wow. Is Ian like the only person who got the Quantum Leap?
No, I got the Quantum Leap reference, and I always do. But all right. But can you at least find one redeeming factor of the movie? Maybe that it was only 2 hours long?
What?
Or however long it was. What was it, an hour and a half then?
I'm trying to think. I'm not joking around. Batman could heat up water in under 3 seconds with a laser.
Did we get him?
What?
Yeah, when he thawed him out, he goes, did we? Robin goes, did we get him?
And then Jed and George Clooney just gives him this look like, I want to get you in bed tonight. I want to show you my special high frequency laser. You want to know what gets me? He did a very Batman thing when he commandeered all United States Army satellites to dial Gotham City. And no one noticed that he used Bruce Wayne's password to do it.
I know.
You know, I'll give him that.
Well, that's because everybody in the Defense Department apparently has Bruce Wayne's password.
Damn you, Alberto Gonzalez.
Damn you! Now, first off, I sat through this movie thinking to myself, when is Batman going to take out the Bat Shark Repellent?
You know what? That you could say what you want. That was a better movie.
Yes. Hands down.
Yes.
Hands down.
I mean, obviously Schumacher was going for the camp here, similar to what happened in the first Batman movie back in the 60s. But he even failed miserably to do a homage or an homage or however the hell you want to say the word. No. What?
He failed at doing anything competent that you can call a movie.
Right. I mean,
he should.
I mean, he didn't get the Batman storyline right. He didn't get the Batgirl storyline right. He didn't get the Robin storyline right. Poison Ivy was a slut whore all the way through. Bane was a grunting idiot. Mr. Freeze would have been good if not played by the Governator. And last but not least, even the colors in the movie were way too frickin' bright for a Batman movie. So. What was this? Yeah, thank you. It was more porn clubs frickin' lights than a movie. So that's where you go wrong here. And George Clooney, if given a good movie, I'm sure would have been able to play a decent Batman and Bruce Wayne. If given a good movie. Because he sure as hell wasn't given a good movie here. So I am going to rate this first out of everybody. And I'm going to give this movie a negative 6.5.
Can I just say something real quick?
Go ahead.
It could have been worse. It could have been Gubable.
It could have been what?
Gubable. I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. He did House of the Dead.
Gubable.
Gubable,
yes.
It could have been him.
I signed that petition. Did you guys sign that petition?
I signed that petition.
I signed it.
All right. For those who don't know, there was a petition online that if a million people signed it, Yul Bo would never make another movie.
Yeah,
I became schizophrenic and signed it 3 times.
But yeah, I give this movie a negative 6.5. Chris, what do you give it?
I give it a 3.
Okay, Raph.
All right, what's the lowest possible rating we can give here?
Negative infinity.
No,
I'm going to add 7 trillion infinities to that negative infinity. Negative. All negative, of course. So it's like negative 8 trillion infinities.
Could I give it an almost negative absolute 0 Kelvin?
Yes, actually. And
nerds out there, I know you guys are computing away on your TI-83s.
I'm going to have to continue the theme here and go 4-3.
Okay. Yeah, continue the theme of like negative gazillion trillion. I give it a 3.
No. Continuing the theme of doing the same score as Chris.
Okay.
Think on your own, man.
All right. Did everybody give or Leroy? You still got to grade it, right?
No, I refuse to.
Go ahead, grade it anyway.
I refuse to.
Do it.
No, that's my grade. I refuse to acknowledge it.
Oh, okay, all right, that's fine. All right,
that's my grade too.
Because nowhere in this movie did Batman acknowledge that his parents are dead.
Exactly. That was waste. This movie suck. His parents could possibly be alive.
Does that count as a reference?
Oh, that counts as a reference. I reiterate, anybody who gives me the time codes for all of the parents are deads for this episode will receive a shiny new Joker hardcover if you give me your address, if you trust me with your address.
Yeah.
Including all the time where Ian says, my parents are dead, my parents are dead, my parents are dead, my parents are dead, my parents
are
dead.
Hold on. Just as an
okay, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. No, if you say it in repetition, you only have to put down 1, okay? Because that's just evil.
Okay, in order to break between the crap.
My parents are dead. Work. My parents are dead. My parents are dead.
I got one better for you, Brent. I am the man whose parents have been dead. I dress like a bat in my bed. Cause Joe Chill killed my parents that night. Cause I was scared by fat people.
Wow. One, your ability to make up songs on the spot ceases to amaze me.
I want to make love in your butt.
All right, moving on. Moving on.
Away! Away!
Batman, get away, Batman. Stop it. Stop it with the bad touch. Stop. Stop. No. Batman. Batman.
I'll put the bank.
All right. Let's get through Batman Begins so that Ziggo can go to sleep, all right? Batman Begins.
Can I go first so I can go to sleep?
Yes, by all means. Batman Begins, the start of the brand spanking new trilogy. Number one, how much did it wipe the taste of Batman and Robin from your mouth? Number two.
How come he gets to go to sleep?
You can go to sleep too if you want.
I have work in 4 hours.
I got work. Yeah, same here.
I got work in 4 hours. We better get through this review quick, this is done.
Well, you know what? We could probably do a two-parter. We could do the Batman retrospective on this one, and then we could just do it next week or something if you want to do the Dark Knight part next time. All right, you want to do that?
Yeah, that's not my show. No, that makes Raph. Things easier.
No, bad Thanks. Raph. Bad Raph. No.
I didn't even hear what he said.
He said, no, we can do it on my show.
No.
Yeah.
Because it'll never come out.
Oh, snap. Snap.
See, mine doesn't come out.
At least on DVD.
I will know that I have just changed my name to Juan de Jesus Gallucci. Because I want to be part of the Falcone crime family, which happened to be part of Batman Begins. Take it away, Leroy.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. All I have to say is just one thing. God bless you, Christopher Nolan.
Amen.
Don't forget David Goyer and Jonathan Nolan.
Yep. Yeah, them too.
Just
God bless you guys. I'm just going to say right now, this is my all-time favorite superhero movie ever made. You know, when I first went into like watching this movie, I think I said on the other show or on my show, but I'm going to say it right here. When I first went into watching this, I was going to say, okay, another Batman movie, meh. You know, I went in there like, whatever, it's going to suck. And when I left that theater, I had like a huge, huge smile on my face. First off, everything was down-packed perfect, from camera angles, camera shots, acting, casting, and story. You know, they actually got Alfred right, which they never got in the first four Batman movies, which was that Alfred is the only family that Bruce Wayne has left.
Never.
Right?
Never.
Never. Never. Never. What's the never, point of all those put? What's the point of all those push-ups if you can't lift a bloody log? You know? But also, what I like most about this one, as opposed to the other ones, is that this was actually a Bruce Wayne story. It wasn't a Batman story. It was a Bruce Wayne story as to how he had to become the Batman. You know? And everything was just realistic. It wasn't like... There was nothing fantastical about it. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm using it. There wasn't anything fantastical about it. Everything was just grounded so well, and just there was just this huge, it brought in who Batman was, and Batman is this guy who's supposed to like make people afraid of him, and that was the big motif of this movie, fear. And it showed that, and it's I don't even know. Awesome movie.
Well,
wow, intern, you impressed me.
What?
You can forget about the mystic now.
All right, what you need? What?
I need fried chicken and malt liquor now. What? Even Brett chuckled on.
I just got promoted from intern to paid intern.
That's so great.
What said anything about money, nigga? What the fuck you talking about?
Okay, what no one managed to do in this, and what Goyer managed to do in this, what everybody involved in this managed to do, is they managed to make Batman and Bruce Wayne the same person. They weren't two sides of this of the same person. They were the same person. And that's what I love about Batman Begins so much. You can see Bruce Wayne becoming Batman. And when he's Bruce Wayne, you know, sure, he's put on a little bit of an act, but he's still being himself to a T. He's being what people think he should be, actually. That's the best way to put it. When he's Bruce Wayne, he thinks, you know, he's acting the way people think he should. Up until that point, up until he gets back from Gotham City, that's just him growing to become the Batman. So he is himself when he's the Batman. He's still himself when he's around Rachel, but when everybody else is around, that's when he puts on his secret identity. So we have like three different types of people all combined into one person whose name is Bruce Wayne, not Batman, in this movie. That's what I love about it.
In my opinion, as editor-in-chief of DC Comics, I have to admit, the best part of Batman Begins was the part with the kid.
Next question.
Lightning Rod, am I a douchebag? Yes. Next. No, maybe. Mike Carlin. Maybe. Yes.
And I will go as far as to say it was straight down packed perfect down to the soundtrack. That was it. I just wanted to add the soundtrack.
Oh, yes.
Music was cool.
Could you do the drum sound, intern?
Dun 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 dun. Is that it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But oh, and the villains. You gotta mention the villains, Ziggo.
Oh, the villains. All right. The villains, I'm going to go in as to say it took my fourth viewing of this movie to realize that Liam Neeson, a.k.a. Qui-Gon Jinn, was Ra's al Ghul. You know, because
he goes right out and says it.
You know, because here's the thing about...
He just got busy, right?
Or maybe cheap parter chicks. Rah.
Yeah, see, it took me a while to actually listen to that line for him. Oh, okay, so that was Rob, because he was playing... He named himself Ducard, who was a character in the comics, right? So I got confused about the whole dual personality, and I thought that Chow Yun Fat was Ra's al Ghul, you know. But
Chow Yun Fat. You mean Ken Watanabe, the Academy Award
winner? Ken Watanabe from Last Samurai,
dude. Come on, man.
They look alike. Whatever. Sorry, Raph.
Oh, he so went there.
Listen, no. Listen,
we just promoted that Chinese intern over there. Right.
Get him off. Get him off the show.
Come on, get the fucker off my show. Finish what you were gonna say, Ziggo. Come on.
Finishing up with the. What I also loved is the way they portrayed the League of Assassins, because the League of Assassins are supposed to be a whole bunch of ninjas that can actually, you know, are trained similar to how Batman was trained, and they just brought it in all together perfectly. And I like the whole that Ra's al Ghul actually felt betrayed, because it's like, well, you know, you were supposed to be at my side. You know, you were the one I trained the best. And he's like, well, no, what you're doing is wrong. And also going to Scarecrow, I think Cillian Murphy was just really, really just really creepy and really pulled it off perfectly. And I liked how, I don't know if this happened in the comics because I haven't read too much. Was he always director of Arkham Asylum, or was that only for the movie?
No, that's just the movie.
That's for the movie. I think that was a great call.
Yeah, someone should call Tom Welling that. He did a great job in this movie.
That wasn't Tom Welling.
Oh, I just thought he lost a lot of weight.
It's also Cillian Murphy.
I know it's Cillian Murphy from 28 Days Later and Red Eye.
This movie and then seeing Red Eye made me like respect Cillian Murphy as a bad guy.
Yeah, no, Cillian Murphy
was awesome.
Here, who the Batman?
Yeah, I used to call him Killian Murphy, and I know it's Cillian, but yeah,
Killian's is a great beer though.
And also, and this might lead on to the Dark Knight discussion, but Gary Oldman, great Commissioner Gordon, and who's the guy that played Alfred?
Michael Caine.
Sir Michael Caine, just an amazing Alfred. I mean, yeah.
I can't believe people, would say this at first, but I remember people going into it saying, like, oh, Michael Caine is an Alfred. His accent is totally wrong. And I'm like, dude, come on. You don't need the same accent to play Alfred. Is he British? Yes. Ding. We have a winner. That's it.
Exactly.
Bring on Mr. Belvedere.
And I was going to answer the question that you said, did it wash off the dirty, foul thing from the other previous movies? It made me forget about the previous movies completely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
Was an origin story.
What previous movies? To me, this is the real Batman movie we've all been waiting for, at least in my personal opinion. And he got it right. And I hope DC keeps it up with the other franchises and they don't rely on Batman to get them through.
Yeah, because I can't wait for Supermax.
Well,
Superman. Hey.
No. Supermax, which is the Green Arrow movie. All right? So,
well, the thing about this is that Batman is what's holding DC together anyway. So,
yeah.
You know.
And Batman is holding it together with this very fine paste that could fall apart at any minute.
So that's
Zarina!
That said, I finally got to say my couple cents because those movies that we reviewed earlier sucked and I didn't have anything to say.
Oh. Ouch. Oh, and
thanks for wasting our time.
What the fuck? Come on, Brett. That's not cool. But all right. But
I'm laughing. I'm joking.
I know you're joking. It's just
why so serious?
Thank you. Thank you. That's the entire reason I said that, just so you would say why so serious. But one more thing from you, Leroy. Katie Holmes, I know that she was introduced, as the love interest. Her character wasn't in the comics. It was yet another love interest that was created straightly for a movie. How did Rachel Dawes come off as you from the first movie?
You know, I got to be honest. I mean, I don't like Katie Holmes per se, but I tolerated her in this, and I think her character was written really well, and it worked for me. Mm-hmm. That actual love interest worked for me because it actually helped Bruce Wayne move forward a bit from childhood up to where he was going, and she was the one that gave him that push, like, hey, look, it's not who it is that wears the mask, but what's beneath, or something like that.
Makes sense. Yeah.
It's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me.
Bruce?
No, it's not Bruce. It's Clark Kent.
And a cape.
Yeah, that's it. It's Clark Kent from the Daily Planet.
I'm only have a 70 IQ. My voice. What the fuck is wrong with my voice? I can't believe that I am gonna be John Connor.
Oh my god, it's gonna be so cool. Cause I'm back at John Connor.
All right. Well,
I'm gonna show you a little trick. I'm going to make all the other Batman films disappear.
All right, well, Juan, we're going to get to you next, but let me intro Ziggo out because I know he's about to pass out. So, Leroy, you want to pimp your podcast real quick?
My podcast is called Comic Tube.
Wow, good job, man. All right, great.
No. For those that don't know, my podcast is called Comic Tube, so it's the website is comictubepodcast.blogspot.com. And pretty much for those that don't know, we just review movies, video games, and TV shows based on comic books, but we don't focus on comic books. We also do science fiction shows and fantasy and things like that.
And give me your rating for Batman Begins real quick.
20 out of 10.
Excellent. Works for me. I meant,
yeah, so, 20 out of 10.
That'll work. And definitely listen to Comic Tube. It's a lot of fun. So enjoy your 4 hours of sleep, dude.
All right, thanks, man. All right, hey, man. I got a quick question.
Hey, yeah. Fried chicken and malt liquor.
Yes. Are you gonna do the Dark Knight with this one, or are you gonna do what you said and do it next week?
We're gonna do it next week. This is just gonna be episode 58. 59 will be Dark Knight, then 60 will be the half hour wasted crossover.
If you want to do a
voicemail or something like that, or just do an audio comment or something like that, you can go ahead, dude.
All right, no problem. All right, good night, guys.
All right, man, take it easy.
Night, Ziggo.
Night.
Later.
How do I get out of here?
Oh, got it. There you go. All right, voila.
Hey.
All right, so he's off sleeping, so let's get Batman Begins out of the way. Everybody on the call, good to return next week for Dark Knight?
Yeah.
All right, sweet, excellent.
I'll have the C6. I believe that is a General Tso's chicken.
Wait. Marvel DC reference. I'll have the veal piccata.
I just got it.
Should I have the taco with extra quesada and a little bit of rucca on the side?
No. That's chicken quesadilla. All right, get it right.
Chicken quesadilla.
Joe Quesadilla. Yeah. All right. For the love of God, let's end this episode with Batman Begins and let's roll it over to Juan.
Wow, was this a good movie? And you want to know what the mark of a good movie is? Is that even after you see it on regular film, on IMAX, you take your parents, your cousins, your friends, and then your mother comes home, and every time they show it on FX, what is she watching? Batman Begins. And what does she see? Something new every time. She is surprised. She was astounded. She is moved, and she has never understood the character of Batman better than she has thanks to this film. And honestly, she digs Christian Bale because he's a sex magnet. But if we go ahead and just realize that this movie did legitimize the comic book film genre right after Spider-Man's kind of hokey, you know, I make a lot of money because I'm Spider-Man the first time. But do we get a chance to make a good movie once more? Here comes Batman Begins, and it says, this is what a comic book movie should be if you're telling an origin. And that is exactly what it did.
How was the pie, Raph?
So good.
You know what?
So good.
Did you guys get that link that Brent sent us?
Yes.
Yes.
It's so true.
There's a link there, right? Let me see if I can scroll up.
I'm going to end up actually in the show notes for this episode. There will be a link to that animated GIF because it's just so beautiful. It's Batman poning Spider-Man. Punching him square in the jaw. So Christian Bale is the best everything for you right now?
Oh, yeah. You want to know why?
Why?
Because he brings a true and earnest duplicity to each character. He knows that Bruce Wayne cannot exist without Batman, and Batman would never have existed without Bruce Wayne. And you get a true look into his psychology. And yes, it gives you a better explanation as to why he picked the bat. But not only that, it also serves to show you that Bruce Wayne has a superhuman quality to him, which is his ability to remain dedicated to making the one single choice. And that choice is to fight injustice in any shape and form without any powers to save Gotham City. And he will do it at the cost of his life and his life alone. And that is why people say Batman is the only normal superhero. But this movie shows you that he has a superhuman ability to maintain stalwart. Every single decision that he makes and every single move that he makes is towards effecting that goal.
Villains. Give me a take on the villains.
Anyone else? Or you want me to go?
No. I want you to go. I gave Leroy plenty of time. I'm going to get everybody's opinions fully before we end up moving around.
Cillian Murphy? Wow. That came out of left field. They only announced Scarecrow as a bad guy, right?
Right, yeah.
And so you thought, wow, they're really just going for straight up two normal people with very few things that are separating them. And who played on the same aspect, which is fear. And I thought that Cillian Murphy gave you just the right amount of cockiness that you would expect from someone like Dr. Jonathan Crane. Mm-hmm. Liam Neeson playing the part of Ducard in his duplicitous role. Again, everybody has a duplicity in this movie, including Rachel Dawes and Lieutenant Gordon. Right? Every person has something to hide. For Jonathan Crane, is his true identity as the Scarecrow. For Flass, is his ability to be with the mob and be with the cops. For Gordon, is hiding his relationship with this new maniac called the Batman. And for Ra's al Ghul, is his ability to get into people's heads and truly show that Ra's al Ghul is immortal. Because it isn't just a person, it's an idea. And that's what I thought this movie did just so, so well.
And I think, well, going along those lines, it's the fact that Bruce Wayne isn't the only one that's hiding something in this movie that makes it so goddamn good. You know, because you're constantly wondering, what else are these characters thinking?
Yes. Yes. That was an excellent point.
Rolling back to Juan, actually, I just wanted to get your take on Rachel real quick, just asking you what I asked Ziggo. As a character that was introduced just for the movie, did you feel you got enough backstory? Do you feel she fit into the Bat universe well enough to fit into a movie like that?
She fit into this universe just because of her previous relationship with Bruce, but there was no on-screen chemistry. But you accepted that there had to be. But this is also, I thought, the character in both movies. Right, we'll speak about that next time. Who was written, and it was, the dialogue was very almost forced, and it was almost ham-fisted in order to get Bruce to do something. And it was also one of the weakest characters that were developed inside of Nolan's Batman universe. And if you look, unfortunately, almost all the other characters are male, except for Detective Ramirez, and you don't really get a lot of character building there. Yeah. So maybe it's just the screenwriting team has a hard time writing for females.
That's possible.
You know, I don't think anyone ever approached it that way. Look at her dialogue in Batman Begins. Sometimes it's forced. And unfortunately, Katie Holmes was excellent in Dawson's Creek. But this isn't Jason Vanderbeek you're acting against. You're getting out-acted every time you're on screen, even by the guy who played the district attorney.
Oh, okay. So are you trying to say James Vanderbeek isn't a good actor? Because I think he would have played a wonderful Batman.
Okay. She was good on Dawson's Creek, not on Batman. She had that weird eye thing and the lip. And it took me out of the scene because I wasn't seeing Rachel Dawes when I was seeing it on screen. I was seeing Tom Cruise's wife, and shit, War of the Worlds is coming 2 weeks later, and it's still...
Yeah, but that was around the time that Katie Holmes met Tom Cruise, was when they filmed Batman Begins. So the beginning of the end happened there.
And the world would never be the same.
Because you're the only one who could do something when you're by the car accident. You're the only one that could reach your hand out and affect the change.
Listen, it's all about the KFC.
Yes. I love my wife.
It's just good chicken. Poof. It's just good chicken. Now we're all laughing. My parents are dead. All right, moving on to Chris. All right, started off with the general, obviously. Batman Begins. Goddamn.
It was a completely fucking awesome movie that erased the taint that was the first four movies, especially the very last one, Batman and Robin. It blew me away. First movie that I went to a midnight showing of in like 10 years, went and saw it again like 4 days after that when it opened up an IMAX out in our area, saw it there. When the DVD came out, bought the DVD, the two disc deluxe edition, so I get all the extras, and that DVD sat up on the shelf next to the TV in our bedroom for a year and a half before I put it with the regular DVDs, because I just kept going back to it and watching and rewatching the movie.
And now you could get it on Blu-ray in full 1080p.
Oh hell yeah!
Hell's yeah. See, I have an upscaling DVD player, so I'm just happy with the way it looks on that.
I know, but this is full screen, beautiful cityscapes, awesomeness.
Yes,
and awesome. You can see Katie Holmes' nipple in that scene where she's knocked out.
Ooh. 6 inches tall. Ooh.
6 inches tall.
You know, it's weird when you have a boob that big on IMAX, and the nipple is like five people big.
And before the Holmes haters pile on, her role, I agree with Juan, it was the least well written out of the entire cast. So, I mean, as good of an actress as she can be or is or whatever, she didn't really have that much to work with in the ensemble. I think all the other characters were written way stronger than she was. But I actually, out of the two Rachel Dawes characters, I actually like her better.
She wasn't as whiny.
Yeah, yeah. And we got the fucking Tumblr.
Yes.
People hated on that.
No, I love. I freaking love the Tumblr.
You want to know what?
Ass.
Listen, Batman Forever. That isn't a Batmobile. I'm sorry, Brent. Uh-huh. I'm sorry to mess up your childhood fantasies. Right? But the Tumblr. That is a man's car.
Hell yeah.
Know why? You hit the red button. You go fucking turbo boost, man. This shit cleared a fucking river, and it blows it up.
You guys seen the movie Tango and Cash?
Yeah, I saw that.
See that? That who owns the pink slip? Satan?
Well, not only do tumblers make very nice glasses to drink beer in, they also make pretty damn awesome tank cars.
Shit, yeah. Can you describe the car? It's a black tank.
So you got to at least tell me what it looks like. Never mind.
Never mind.
All right.
Hey, you know what? I'm sure everybody's seen all the making ofs and all the back matter stuff on the DVD sets or what have you. I really appreciate that Nolan and his crew took the time to do the stunts in camera and not a whole bunch of CGI crap.
What people don't know, the Tumblr works.
Yo, hell yes!
Tumblr is a real car.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes!
It is a monster truck amongst tanks.
Although I think that I think they made a few different ones to do. I don't think that one Tumblr can jump and do all those things. I think one of them's meant for driving, mm-hmm. one of them's meant for jump stunts and all that. That's the only thing, but it's still ridiculously awesome.
Oh
hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, that big plume of fire coming out the back, like the Batmobile that we all grew up with?
Yeah, totally.
All right, mention the villains a little bit, Chris.
Roz, I'm not going to say Raish. I'll never say Raish. Roz.
Yes, Detective.
Raish.
So wait.
Hold on.
Was Ken Watanabe Ubu?
No, he was Roz.
No.
Raish,
no. I understand in the whole duplicity. But
I actually have a
theory. He looks like the giant bald guy who's always with Ra's al Ghul, his bodyguard Ubu.
He might be Ubu.
I have a theory about that, actually, but I'll get to it later.
Okay, all right. Okay. But anyway, Chris, start talking about Ra's al Ghul.
No, I thought the way that they introduced his character and tied him into Bruce Wayne and the whole development up to the Batman character itself, I thought they did a great job with that because it built up a tight relationship between the two, not only of kind of like a sensei and student trust, but, you know, like a personal bond between the two that made the final conflict between the two of them, it had that much more kind of gravity or personal weight with the whole betrayal, you know, how Bruce felt betrayed by Roz once he showed back up. Crane was just a scary mofo. He was, you know, tool of the mob or what have you, but I think Cillian Murphy did a great job portraying him because he brought off not only kind of the twisted side, but also the intellectual kind of upturned nose type of thing. You know, I'm better than you.
And hell. One of the few CGI shots of the movie, that amazing shot of Batman with Joker gas. I said Joker gas with the fear toxin. You know, in the face of the criminal. You know, with the worms crawling out of his mouth and everything. Oh my God. Ugh, that could give anybody nightmares.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Everything was done right.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah. And it was done right, and it was done right at the right time for the character, because I think, you know, not just DC needed to have that kickstart from this movie in addition to the Spider-Man movies. I think if the Spider-Man movies had come out, you know, kind of on their own without anybody out anything kind of along the lines of Batman Begins, I think we wouldn't see a proliferation of comic related movies like we're seeing, you know, this year in particular, but you know, kind of building up to include this year.
Well, it was the right time in general for Batman Begins because in the comic books, Batman was back to being the badass he always was. You know, there were those few years where he was sort of, you know, off to the wayside, doing his own thing. You know, when Gotham City got destroyed for a while, he was sort of in this, like in-between stage where he didn't know where to go. And even though he was paranoid, he went back to being the scary motherfucker that everybody was, like, afraid to talk to. And
oh, hell yeah. And the fighting style that they had in the movie, was it the Casey fighting style?
Mm-hmm.
That shit's made to kill people. You know, you don't just beat the shit out of people with it. You just kill their ass with it.
Yeah.
But Nolan and Goyer, you know, both the Nolans and Goyer, they kept it real as far as he's not the killing type. He makes decisions on the side of saving people's lives. He's not into it to kill people. Maybe he killed off Roz, but it was more of a do or die situation, and he knew that was the only choice that he could make at that point because Roz was so committed to destroying Gotham City. And it was one of those kill one to save a thousand.
We know by now that Ra's al Ghul was never dead?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could very well end up showing up back up in the fourth movie or the third movie, even if they do Talia.
That far, there's not even a third movie yet.
Oh, because I know that there's at least going to be four, man. I know.
Matter of fact, I think one of the Nolans, I think Jonathan Nolan actually talked about that they've got ideas for the third movie.
Good.
So I say, hell yes, bring it on.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, let me roll over to Brent here before he passes out on us. So let's get your Batman Begins thoughts.
I loved it. I went in with, I guess, moderate expectations. I was hoping that it would be awesome, and lo and behold, it was. So, but I wasn't as hyped up for it as I was The Dark Knight. But I love the whole – there are a bunch of great lines in this movie, not just funny ones but like just great quotes. The whole – you know, it starts out in the beginning with Carmine Falcone, you know, and you always fear what you don't understand. That was cool. Bruce Wayne explaining, you know, why he has to be a symbol. All the League of Shadow stuff about theatricality can be a dangerous weapon and a tool and all this other stuff. And you know, my absolute favorite is when he's crafting the batarangs, and it's, you know, Alfred, this is going to be my crappy English accent. Why bats, Master Wayne?
I fear bats. Stop minding me, share my dread. And that is why I love mustard and potato chips.
Continue, Brett.
No, but I just love the lines like that where it's just like, oh yeah, let's go, let's get it on. It's just amazing.
And Bale was so committed to the movie. I mean, oh my god,
he was.
I mean, he didn't need the suit to look like a frickin' tank. Oh my god. I mean, he came off the Machinist and everything, where he looked like a frickin', you know, he looked probably scarier and thinner than Murphy did, you know, as the Scarecrow. And he came off, you know, as this totally buff badass to beat the shit out of everybody.
No, but he was committed. And just the line, the I love that, you know, what am I supposed to do while you go out there as Batman? Tell them that joke, you know. He knows one joke. I just thought that bit was great. He only knows one joke, or it's the only good one he knows.
Oh, well, you know how it is, Mr. Fox. You're hanging out in a club. People start passing out weaponized aerosol. He goes, oh, Mr. Wayne, take two of these and then call me in the morning.
How about the scene in the fountain, man? That was great. It's like, I'm sorry, sir. You can't actually be in the fountain. You're going to have to tell your girls to go elsewhere. I own this place now.
It's not an issue of money, sir. No, you don't get it. I'm buying this place, and we're going to change the rules about the pool.
I love the way he set up. He had one hole on top of the other. That's kick-ass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, you're not sitting in the middle. You're sitting on top of her.
This is how we roll.
Yeah,
a little
boy.
Bit before, he would have been playing, this is how we do it. In the cars, he should have rolled up.
But, yeah, so how good were the villains, Brent?
I thought they're okay. I was more interested in this movie of Bruce Wayne and how he became Batman. I thought the villains were pretty good. Scarecrow was definitely like a threat, not like a mental threat, but he wasn't really a physical one. But Ra's al Ghul and the League of Assassins or Shadows, whatever you want to call it, or the Hand, you know, if you want to be Marvelite.
That's right, what they were. Believer.
I think he's a marvelous DC character.
I thought they're cool. I mean, they're just enough that it set the plot in motion, so that he had to become Batman. But they weren't like at no point in time did I think that Batman was not going to win. You know, whereas yeah. There are moments in this new movie where I was like, oh shit, what the hell is going to happen? You know. But all in all, that doesn't really have an effect on the movie, because to me the movie was somebody was saying before, it was about Bruce Wayne becoming Batman. And as long as they had the focus on that, this movie couldn't do anything wrong for me.
And what about Ms. Dawes?
I liked Katie Holmes. She was okay. I didn't think she was like overacted or underacted, or you know, she was just okay. She was moderate. You know, she wasn't so bad that you can say the best thing about her performance is that she didn't wear a bra in one scene or something like that. You can't say that, because there were better parts to her performance than that.
Yeah, when she was knocked out in Arkham.
When she was smacking him, when she smacked him in the car, I thought that was pretty good acting from Katie Holmes.
You know what? I don't think someone like Katie Holmes can smack someone of the caliber like Christian Bale. You know, I didn't buy it. There was like no emotion behind it in that scene.
Well, look, in this movie,
I completely bought it though. I bought it.
Yeah, I bought it too. I bought it too.
I accepted it, but I didn't buy it.
But
well, even best friends, wouldn't you? If your best friend was messing around to the point where you were worried about them, would you smack them around?
No, I say, listen, you're full of shit.
Well, yeah, but she just got to the point where she couldn't say anything and she slapped them. I can understand that.
She was doing an on the spot intervention.
Yeah,
well, is this a free crack giveaway?
Well,
what the fuck are you doing with a gun, homie?
well, look.
Listen, Holmes, put it down. We can talk about this.
Okay, in this movie, Rachel Dawes was the Mary Jane character. You know, she was, and no, I'm not making a drug joke. She was the Mary Jane Watson of the movie, where, you know, she knew the main character from the beginning. She knew him for years. She was the childhood friend who blossomed into something more than just a friend. Now she knows his identity. You know, they felt they needed some sort of romantic tie to Batman, who knew who he was, who knew how to handle him. And that's exactly what Rachel Dawes was. So she was the Mary Jane to Batman's Peter Parker.
Yeah, but at the same time, kind of like with at the end of the original Spider-Man movie, in addition to providing the romantic interest, at the same time, by putting that romantic interest in there, you also at the end get more of a sense of what your hero is giving up in favor of doing what they think is the right thing. So the sacrifices that they're making.
Right. All right, let's get Raph's take on, and then we'll do our final ratings. So Suhu, go ahead. Your parents are dead.
Oh my God. All right, so let's go back to 2005. I was actually on a trip in Atlanta when the movie came out, and I didn't go see it. A couple of my friends did. I was tired. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. They told me it's pretty good, so I get back. I'm like, all right, I'll go see it. My mind is
completely... Get new friends. They said it was pretty good. Get some new friends.
Well, they're not... They weren't comic book fans, so they didn't really care about Batman. So I was like, all right, if they liked it, it must be pretty good then, because Batman and Robin was... Oh, I said it!
I knew you were going to slip. I knew you were going to slip. I saw it coming.
You're dead to me, Raph.
Oh, it hurts so
As of
bad.
This moment, I have bought out
the special
the majority
bonus for
share
your...
in Geeks Unite. You know, it's all real technical.
The special bonus phrase for your Robin hardcover is Batman and Robin. Remember, kids, the key phrase is Batman and Robin.
His parents are also dead.
The password is... Okay, no, but... All right. Yeah, Just Bill, you'll get that reference.
I totally got over the fourth Batman movie, the second one by Joel Schumacher, after I saw Batman Begins. Where do I begin? All right. Christian Bale was beyond dedicated to Bruce Wayne. Like, he became Bruce Wayne. The thing is, like,
I sort of agree with what you said before, Ian, but I sort of disagree with the whole thing about he was Bruce Wayne and Batman. He's sort of like, if you listen to the interviews for Superman Returns, they wanted Brandon Routh to play three characters. He was Superman, he was Clark Kent on the farm, Kal-El, whatever you want to call him, and then he's the bumbling Clark Kent.
Right.
That's the same with Batman, pretty much. He is Bruce Wayne in the cave and with Alfred. He's Batman, this supernatural symbol, this myth of just like vengeance. He's not a person anymore. He even said that. The quote was, people need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man of flesh and blood, I can be ignored or destroyed, but as a symbol, I can be incorruptible. I can be everlasting. And that's what Batman is.
I hope you're reading that from somewhere, and you don't know that by heart, because if you do, dude...
I don't know it by heart. I read it.
Okay.
That's how I could do it so fast.
All right.
And then there's Bruce Wayne, the foppish playboy, who's like, oh, I'm going to buy this. Should I go to a hospital? It's like that's like the character, that's like the acting Bruce Wayne, and it's great. And this is my thing: when Michael Keaton was Batman, he'd go, "I'm Batman." When Val Kilmer was Batman, he'd go, "I'm Batman." When George Clooney was Batman, he'd go, "I suck, I'm Batman." When Christian Bale does it, he's, "I'm Batman. Where are they taking those drugs? I swear to God, swear to me."
You fat ass with the falafel.
I love the voice. I love the delivery. It's the whole reason I even do the voice. I've been doing that voice for 3 years now.
Hand over your street meat.
Thank you for this hot dog. It is quite delicious.
All right. So I dealt with Christian.
Gonna have
Christian,
a pretzel.
Christian Bale will forever be Bruce Wayne and Batman. Even if Terminator is awesome, he'll be still be more Batman than John Connor to me. For the rest of my life, he is Batman.
He loves movies with drums for music.
I know, right? Oh, me too. And you know what? No one's commented on this yet. I'm sure you'll probably mention it, Raph. But how about the fact that not only was he, well, this is how you knew how like into the character he was. Even for the press junkets, he spoke in his Bruce Wayne voice, even though that's not his natural accent.
Yeah.
He knew that Americans wanted to hear Bruce Wayne and not Christian Bale, so he used his American accent.
He said that on, was an NPR, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was doing some. Yeah, he said. Oh, he goes, What about your regular accent? He's like, you know what? People in the role, they're not expecting to talk to, you know, some foreign bloke or what have you. They want to hear, you know, Bruce Wayne. So that's why I'm keeping it.
He said that in an interview on the second disc of the Batman Begins Deluxe Edition, which I have. I actually heard him speak in his Welsh accent. Yeah. It's really interesting. Anyway, so that's the first question, right? Then the next question is the villains, right? Okay. So Scarecrow was fine. I mean, he was a great psychological threat, and he was really good. My thing with... Okay, my Arabic friend who I went to see the movie with the second time said the name in Arabic, because it's Arabic, is Ra's al Ghul. So I'm going to go with that for now. Okay.
Your friend who knows Arabic is wrong.
Anyway, well, Neil Adams said it's more like Ra's al Ghul. So that's where Ra's al Ghul comes from. It's the ending. Anyway, the whole point, I have two theories. Either, and someone mentioned this already, Ken Watanabe was Ubu and Ducard was Ra's the whole time, or Ra's, or whatever you want to say. And that works. Or if they're really going with the reality thing and taking the whole immortality thing out, was Ducard next in line to be Ra's al Ghul?
Ooh.
And then there's another one and another one, and that it really does pass down, but not the way everyone thinks. I'm wondering which one it is, because they never flat out tell you, are we doing the comic book version, or are we doing this sort of like really realistic version? Because I think
going
that's more
comic books.
Yeah, I want to do that too, because then I'd love to see Liam Neeson again. I mean, because who are you going to get to replace Liam Neeson? Liam Neeson's a great actor.
Mm-hmm. Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know. Then,
yeah,
and then Hayden Christensen?
No.
I'm Ra's al Ghul. I'm Ra's al Ghul.
I killed them. I killed them because I hated them. And I killed them all with my bare hands, Padme. Please suck my cock now.
Shit.
So Ra's was very good. I think the villains were great, but...
I said Ra's.
I don't care.
They're interchangeable. Continue, Raph.
Anyway, I thought they were great villains. When it comes to Katie Holmes, I had the biggest thing for her when Dawson's Creek first started, and I was obsessed with her up until the Tom Cruise thing, and now...
I don't want to wait for our life to be over.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought she was competent. I mean, she was the weakest part of a great movie, so what's that say? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that she was pretty solid then. Her role definitely, even in Dark Knight, which we won't get into, it definitely pushes the plot. It's a role meant to push the plot forward, and not a role that grows by itself. She has to, the most important line of the movie, I think, it's not who you are underneath, but what you do that defines you. And that sort of makes him see, like, what he has to do. He has to really, you know, he has to push himself. And so, like, that's her line. I mean, anyone could have said that. Alfred could have said it. So, but they gave it to her so she could, and the whole connection between them, it was meant to push him forward so that, and then what she says at the end, it's like, I fell in love with you, but then the man I loved is gone. He's somewhere out there, but maybe he'll be back once Batman's gone. And that whole, you know, it's setting up what happens to Batman. I mean, we all know ultimately Batman is alone, you know, with the exception of Robin and all that. But for a long time, he was alone. He didn't have a Robin. And so she's there to set up what it really means for him to be Batman. Because, like he says, he's a symbol. Like, it's so great that they play into psychology of that. It's Batman is not a human being. Batman is a symbol, and it'll always be a symbol. He has to, and to embrace that, he really needs to make it more than his parents are dead. As much as I like to joke about that, it's not his motivation anymore. Especially later on in Dark Knight, and at the end of Batman Begins. It is his motivation in the beginning. That's why he trains so hard. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's about justice. It's about doing what's right. And, you know, that's something big. It's bigger than just, I need to get revenge. So I love that he makes all that progression in that movie. And I love all the setup. And of all the first movies, of all the comic book movies, Batman Begins, Iron Man, and Superman the movie are definitely the top three. Not in that order. Whatever order you want to decide is fine. I can't really think of it right now. But those are the best first movies you can ever do for a comic book movie. I can't think of any others that come close to that.
Mm-hmm. Howard.
So yeah. Okay.
Howard. Okay. Coach.
Wait a minute. Howard the Duck is single-handedly the greatest comic book movie in the existence of any possible universe at any possible time. It should not enter the conversation. It's beyond our comprehension.
The fact that you were able to say that with a straight face, Raph, proves that you are an actor.
That was good. I like it.
All right, and just touch ever so slightly on Alfred before we wrap this up.
You're never going to give up on me, are you, Alfred?
Never.
Says it all. That says it all. He's the best Alfred. I think so.
And for a preview for the next movie, subtle. Very subtle. Will you be taking the Batmobile?
It was all your idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, the fact that I can quote so many lines from this movie shows how good it is. I can only quote a lot of lines from movies I really like.
The fact
like.
That my mother could quote almost every single line from this movie bothers me. And yet, it shows... lends credence to the movie.
It seems you've taken my advice on theatricality a little too seriously.
I'm going to stop you. Learn to mind your surroundings.
All right, gentlemen. Give it a rating, and then I believe we can wrap this part up here, this episode 58, this very long 3-hour bat episode of Comic
you
Timing.
Don't know that we officially united GU and Comic Timing, and we have officially bought out Raging Bullets.
Oh, excellent. Cool. When does the merger take place?
It's already taking place, you know, very shell races. It's all really technical.
All right.
Since you're the guy who's dealing this deal, Juan, what do you give Batman Begins?
I there's almost no rating that would do it justice because the sheer reviewability factor and the sheer enjoyment that I get out of every time that I see this movie, I do not one time say, hey, what's on the next channel, or skip ahead or press the select button on my PS3 so that it could tell me that I have 48 minutes left to the movie, you know? Because I have had portions in my life where I have said, how much do I have to watch Carter Wong kick this guy in the head? And I press select, and it says 47 minutes. You know? So... it's a good movie, and honestly, if I were to give it a rating, I would be doing it an injustice.
Okay. So you just give it two thumbs up?
Two thumbs, a big toe, and my butt cheeks. And that's pretty big.
I would agree. Those are pretty big. All right, over to Brent.
A 9.
A 9? Ooh, okay. So not quite a 10, huh?
Well, not after that second movie.
We'll get there, baby. We'll get there. All right.
Oh, he's so serious.
Chris.
11 out of 10.
11 out of 10? Wait.
The dial's going to 11.
Excellent. And for Dark Knight to go to 12. And over to Raph.
9.9 trillion billion gazillion infinities.
So, what about you, Ian?
I'm giving it the solid 10.
You know what? You remember that scene on Tiny Toons where Buster Bunny had plugged in his guitar, right? Mm-hmm. And it said like okay, loud, are you serious? And then like skull? That's my rage. It's like skull. That's my rage for Batman Begins, a skull.
Oh, wow.
It kills movies.
All right, guys.
It says, you know what, Mamma Mia? Go sing your happy song on a Greek island somewhere else.
Mamma Mia. Well, you know what? Batman is never going to go see Mamma Mia. Why? Because his parents are dead.
See, Dark Knight,
the movie.
He doesn't care
who his real father is.
Exactly. Dark Knight, the movie, raped Meryl Streep to make that girl to do that whole thing with Mamma Mia.
Ooh, ouch.
And it was just one of the pretenders in a bat suit.
Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan somewhere going, I'm still James Bond, right?
I'm Remington Steele.
All right, guys. First off, before we actually end the episode there, just in case you skipped to the end and didn't listen to the beginning, we are proudly sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. This month's special, if you buy one trade paperback, you will get the second trade paperback that you buy for 50% off. So no matter what that first trade paperback is discounted for, the second trade paperback that you're going to be getting will be 50% off retail. And you can get a double advantage here if you buy two trade paperbacks of the same character and then buy the single issue of that same character, because then you will get the single issue for free as part of their summer special that they've been having going on here. So you can definitely save plenty this month over at heroescorner.com. The comic timing code for the month would be CTROCKS. So that's CTROCKS. So if you're a first-time Heroes Corner visitor, you can get an additional 5% off your first order if you use CTROCKS. And the comic timing books of the month are Captain Britain and MI-13 number 6. That is 40% off. Retail $2.99, only $1.79 at Heroes Corner. Supergirl number 34, 40% off as well, $1.79 on Heroes Corner. And Hellboy in the Chapel of Moloch, Mike Mignola's art and writing return to Hellboy, 75% off. Retail price of $2.99. Heroes Corner price, only 75 cents. So if you want plenty of savings on your books and some awesome customer service, Heroes Corner is the place to go. HeroesCorner.com, baby. And to continue to Batfest, next episode we'll be focusing on Dark Knight and Gotham Knight. But before we officially wrap things up, hey, Raph Suhu, what is upcoming on that podcast you do called Geeks Unite?
Ironically, the first thing that's coming out next is going to be our Dark Knight talk. I'm going to syndicate it with my own intro and all that good stuff. After that, we're going to talk Secret Invasion, Final Crisis, and Trinity. After that, who knows? We're going to probably start having on those people that signed up at New York Comic Con. I'm going to be sending out emails.
Forget about you.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Excellent.
And my parents will still be alive.
And probably I may want to, if with Raph's permission, Stargate Continuum.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. I was good. I'm actually waiting for the legit copy to come out, even though it leaked on the internet weeks ago.
So, yeah, but you wanted it. You want a copy.
I want a copy, but I already, you know, pre-ordered it, so I'm going to wait for that pre-ordered copy to come and watch it on my big-ass TV. It's the way it rolls. But so, Juan, what's upcoming on Geeks Unite?
Same thing, Raph. Except with me, it's a lot cooler because I've actually been laid.
Oh!
Oh!
Ow! Oh, my God.
Hey, Juan, those real dolls don't count.
You know what? That synthetic skin, it gets warm to the touch, okay?
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. Chris is like,
yeah,
who is
after you oil
kid?
It up.
Hey, you know what? KY gentle sensation, shit works, okay? Okay.
The heating massage / lubricant.
Yes. Yes. It is fantastic. Oh, and you know what? Being ribbed is not always pleasurable.
You know, head-on can be applied elsewhere than the forehead.
Apply to anal fissure. Apply to anal fissure.
All right, Chris, you got anything you want to plug? I know you don't have a podcast, but anything out there in the podcasting land you want to plug?
I got a couple rant segments on Marvel Noise and 11 o'clock comments, and then another longer segment coming up on Marvel Noise, I think next week, according to De Price Man. So look for those.
The man of two podcasts now.
Yes.
Yes, he has had to relinquish his title of 1,000 podcasts because he's only on two now.
But they're really good ones.
Yes, yes, they are. Although, actually, technically, I guess it's three if you count that pilot episode that he did with in the car with his wife.
So that. What if she let him sit? What if she made him sit in the front seat and she sat in the back seat?
I don't know. I don't know. But bullpenbulletinspodcast.com for 11 o'clock comics. And I believe it's just, what is it? Just comicbooknoise.com for Marvel Noise, right?
Yeah, I think he's got the. I think Derek's got the links there.
Excelente. And Brent, you got any BK's bullets?
Nope.
All righty. So it looks like we're done here. So before I collapse, this one is over. Yet again, episode 59, we'll have the Dark Knight and the Gotham Knight. And Half Hour Wasted, which has already been recorded, will be episode 60. So you'll have a brand spanking crossover for episode 60. So the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at thecomicforums.com. Originally hosted by the Comic Geekspeak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. We're also members of the League of Comic Book Podcasters over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please dig us on dig.com. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. And for the love of God, give us your iTunes reviews, because Jesus Christ, do we need them. First off, Chris, thanks for joining us again, buddy, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Thank you, and I'm looking forward to it.
Excelente. And to the Geeks Unite crew, it was okay.
Sort of me, you'll give them iPod reviews.
Good night, everyone.
I am the man whose parents were shot dead. I got their money cause Joe shot them dead.
And Brent, good night, Brent.
Turn it off already.
And as always, my parents are dead. There's always time for
My parents are dead.
Comics!
We just went to shit.
Why, yeah.
So it's G-Shit. Geeks Unite, guys. Never works when they're around.
Which section of the Mac Genius Bar has the ass-shoving section?
I believe that would be right near the front.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Juan, make yourself really fucking loud, dude. We can't hear you.
What? Follow it.
Dude, yeah. Serious, man. Maybe Skype's controlling your volume or something, because all of a sudden you're really fucking low.
Just tell your girl. Goddamn microphone.
Yeah. Do it like you tell your girl. Swallow.
Oh!
Oh, God.
Brent, repeat your Chewbacca. Maybe that'll help.
I don't know, man.
Everybody sounds fucking wonderful right now, so as long as Juan gets himself loud, then we'll be perfect for this episode.
Stick a cucumber up his ass, he'll be louder.
Oh!
Do you promise?
That's
you promise.
Don't fuck with Puerto Ricans, friend. We're not Cubans, we'll shank you.
Because your ass is, we might need three.
You're so lucky we can barely hear you now, Juan. Come on, dude, make yourself louder, come on.
I'm trying here.
You trying?
Shove another one up there. Go for three.
You and your lovely little Mac can only go so far, I guess.
No, not at all, my friend.
That's much better.
That's much better.
Ah, take that.
It is.
All right, excellent. Okay.
Everyone's sounding crystal, so take off.
Do it live.
Do it live. Fuck it, we'll do it live. All right.
I love that note down.
Fire!
Bill O'Reilly, we'll do it live.
Did I just hear a 5-year-old on the call?
No, that was
Zinda. No, that was me.
That was not me.
That was not me. The fuck you gotta blame me for?
You're the intern. You blame me for everything.
No, man.
I swear I just heard a 5-year-old giggling in the background somewhere.
It was Raph.
Oh,
it was.
All right. Anyway. Raph, let the kid go already.
Yo. Suhu, boost your volume a bit, man. Just a little bit.
How's this?
A little bit more.
Okay.
His microphone is dead.
My mic's dead.
How's that? That's fine. That's good.
All right.
All I have
to tell your little kid, buddy, swallow.
Ziggo, you sound fine. Chavez, talk.
Hey. Enough of that.
Get off my lawn.
Russian dance.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're good. Counting down now. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mr. Cassina, favorite Batman movie and why?
Did he fall asleep already?
His bathroom break.
Yeah. Wow. Holy shit. No. He's just sitting there fucking with us.
It's like AIM again. I just do these awkward. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm done. That's how I am on AIM. Hey. Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Well, luckily I discovered on audition that little button that gets rid of the pauses. So you know, it'll be like to everybody else there in the world that you didn't even pause at all.
You know.
Whatnot.
I need to find that button.
I just had a seizure. Stop that. No, because I've listened to like 6 hours of Raging Bullets.
Why would you make yourself do that?
You want to know why? Because there's no work at work, right? So I have to sit there and pretend to do somebody else's job. So I get that there in like 5 minutes, and I go there and I pass out to Raging Bullets. And yet, when I wake up,
to it if you're sleeping.
No. When I wake up, I know exactly what happened on panel 3 of Batman: Death and Maidens.
Oh shit! But after the 7th hour, your nose will start bleeding.
Yeah, and you know. fucking Ra's al Ghul's second daughter. She's such a bitch.
Yes. No. That's Ra's al Ghul. We're talking movies here.
Ra's al Ghul.
Fuck that, Ra's al Ghul.
Would you be afraid of something called Ra's?
No.
I don't like Ra's.
Smoke you to death with some marijuana and that big thing they put on their head?
I'm not afraid of Ra's al Ghul because she was in Night Court.
Listen, I'm not afraid of Rastafarians either, but that's not the point.
And so, Brent.
Chris.
Brent.
Chris, I'm here.
Brent.
Yeah,
give your rating.
Hey, Grant Morrison.
I yelled Chris for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, why?
Returns.
Hey, Grant Morrison is on MTV too.
Yeah, wow, Brent Cassina gives it a rating of Chris.
That night together wasn't that long ago, so he's probably still remembering that.
The one thing that I really, really liked about this movie was Two-Face. Two-Face, not him. No. Wrong movie. Sorry.
I really liked that Two-Face wasn't in it at all. All right, continue.
Yeah.
He's asleep.
Is he actually asleep this time?
Wait.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
Bastards.
No, dude, whenever you walk away from the mic, that's exactly what I'm going to think now, man. I'm sorry.
I was away from the mic, okay. But I was splashing cold water in my face trying to wake the fuck up because I was dozing off there for a while.
Okay, cool.
Just be responsible.
Good.
Just be responsible.
Friends know when to say.
Friends don't let friends the podcast sleepy.
Go ahead. No, I didn't want to cut Brent completely off.
Oh, dude, you were in the middle of a sentence. Finish the dance.
No, he...
I honestly have a hernia, and now I can't get up.
Dead parent comics.
But parents are comic books.
Doing this voice, I developed a hernia.
Does that count? My parents are comic books?
Yeah, I think my parents are comic books. Scouts.
Alright,
I'm pressing stop on the recorder now, or else we're never going to stop.
My parents are dead comic books.
The Ice Age!
The other thing